as if there needs to be a lot of speculation because the left is completely insane. And the idea of a school teacher from California driving across the country just to hilariously fail in an attempt to assassinate literally anybody, it's perfectly believable. So we'll entertain the, you know, speculation about what else could be at play here. But I think what's really at play here is the continual expression of leftist violence that never gets addressed. And so it's only going to keep happening, obviously. So we'll get into that. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 27th of April, 2026. A Supreme Court case over pesticides is bringing out MAHA moms and the threats of consequences for the midterms. We will show you the videos. Of course, this morning was the big rally that we talked about a lot with Tiffany Cianci last week, protesting against the, protesting at the Supreme Court in favor of them deciding against Roundup and Bayer Monsanto, into where they're trying to make pesticides you're unable to sue if they cause you harm. We'll show you some speeches from that, including Thomas Massey and others. Meanwhile, the White House Correspondents' Dinner gunman believed to have been targeting Trump officials, acting AG says. The 31-year-old gunman who derailed the White House Correspondents' Association dinner is believed to have been targeting members of the Trump administration, acting Attorney General Todd Blanche told multiple news outlets Sunday. The shots fired outside the hotel ballroom triggered a chaotic scene within, with President Trump hastily evacuated. While he was not in immediate danger, the sobering moment adds to a list of close calls that no modern president has faced. And I was just talking about this with producer Scott before the show, where he's like, you know, with all of the anger and outrage and fury around someone like Barack Obama, there was never even anything remotely close to an assassination attempt. Trump has lived through at least four that we know of. This is a problem. This is a major problem, but we'll get back to it. Meanwhile, Iran offers U.S. deal to open Hormuz Strait, postpone nuclear talks. So basically, Iran has given the U.S. a new proposal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and end the war, with nuclear negotiations postponed for a later stage, according to U.S. official with two sources with knowledge. So we are apparently entering into negotiations again with Iran. We'll see where this goes. We'll keep an eye on that, and I'll break down sort of what the negotiations are looking like. But this whole war with Iran thing, it's kind of done a number to our international reputation. Germany's Merz says Iran is humiliating U.S. as talks stall. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz said on Monday that Iran's leadership was humiliating the United States and getting U.S. officials to travel to Pakistan and then leave without results in an unusually abrupt rebuke over the conflict. As if we needed the Chancellor of Germany to tell us what we can see with our own eyes. And it's been humiliation upon humiliation, piled one upon the other. We'll show you some of that here. But finally, Republican lawmakers seek to grant U.S. benefits to Israeli soldiers. It was recently reported the U.S. congressmen are seeking to pass legislation that would grant Israeli soldiers certain U.S. military benefits by fundamentally changing the reason military benefits are granted, from U.S. service to U.S. citizenship. So there's something like 20,000 IDF soldiers currently living in America. And for some reason, for some godforsaken, inexplicable, utterly ridiculous reason, two American congressmen are trying to get America to pay for the retirement of soldiers that fought for Israel. I tell you what, when I learned that there were 20,000 IDF soldiers in America, my first response is, we are in extreme danger. They all have to be arrested and deported immediately. These are war criminals we're talking about. They live here. Get them out.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon from the InfoWars headquarters. This will be our final week in the InfoWars headquarters. Hell, we're not even going to make it through the whole week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we will be here in the Central Texas Command Center. On Friday, we will be broadcasting out of our remote location. And in fact, guys, we have the videos in. I have in here a video of sort of what this looks like, or at least what it feels like. And it's the Star Wars video. And if we can find that, it's essentially what's happening here. The Death Star is hovering above the Rebel base, and soon they will unleash the laser cannon and obliterate us completely from orbit. And that's fine, because we are the Rebellion. We will continue to fight. We will simply move up sticks and move somewhere else and plant our flag once again. So we're not going anywhere. We are going to continue our mission. We're actually only going to get bigger and better. And this whole office has been a hive of activity as we prepare for the big move later this week. You can support us, and I really hope you do, by going to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Yeah, let's go to this. Let's go to this video. This is a live behind-the-scenes look at what we've been doing here at the InfoWars headquarters. Let's watch.
The primary target will be the power generators. Prepare to open shield.
Rebel ships are coming into our sector.
Good. Our first catch of the day.
Stand by. I am control. Fire.
The first transport is away. The first
Transport is away. That's exactly how it feels. I'll tell you that right now. That's certainly how it feels. But we're not going to talk about InfoWars this whole time, obviously, although I did really enjoy that last hour of the Alex Jones show. I mean, you got to share that around. And me and Rex are working on this as well. I think he talked about it a lot during his morning show. But really, what we need, because this is an information war, and as nice as it would be if we could just, like, tell people things in whatever tone of voice and they could just sort of hear the facts for what they are and then judge them on their own volition, like, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now, because that's not how things work. You have to actually, like, tell people things in a way that connects with them and corresponds to and is conforms to the pre-established signals that your brain is looking for to tell you this is legitimate. Pay attention to this. And again, it's not like we'll do it in a dishonest way, but you have to understand that there's a reason why, like, every news broadcast sounds exactly the same, why they literally train people in journalism school to talk in a certain cadence, because Americans have been basically programmed to accept things said in that cadence as true. It's like a deep, deep psychological programming that people don't even recognize, and that, like, it's hard to even break. You know, it's one of those things where Lord of the Rings does it especially well. The music in Lord of the Rings is so good, and the editing is so good. You cannot actually care about it at all, but, like, you're going to tear up at the sad scene. You might not care about the characters. You might hate the characters involved. But just, like, when it hits you with the music and the visuals and the words are saying, it just, even if you know it's coming, if you've seen it 1,000 times, even if you're like, I'm prepared, I'm not, this is not going to make me sad, they can hack your brain. You don't have control over that, actually. They are going to make you sad. They are going to play the sad music. They are going to show the sad images, and it's going to make you sad, even if you're prepared for it, even if you know it's coming and are mentally, you know, trying to resist. There are certain things that it's just instinct at this point. I mean, it's been programmed so much, or in the case of something like music, you know, touching a part of your soul, it really is instinct. It really is inherited. They don't have to program it at all. They just have to know how to access those particular, you know, levers in your brain, essentially. And so I feel like that happens with news media, where it's like, I know it's fake. I know what they're telling me is BS, but they say it in such a convincing way. They say it in a way that just is designed to put across a feeling of confidence and superiority and calm authority in the face of chaos. And it's just, it works. It works. What else can you say? It actually does something to the human brain that they are more likely to believe something, even when it's totally ridiculous, even when it's, you know, ridiculous on the face of it, the way it's presented matters a lot. So anyway, like I can watch Alex Jones present the information and understand the information he's presenting is accurate and just extrapolate for myself, or just, you know, obviously I empathize with him in general, but I wouldn't need to. I mean, it's just, you lay out the facts, and if you look at the facts in an unbiased way, you go, wow, this is crazy. This is horrible what they did to Alex. Like, I can't believe they got away with this. I can't believe people went along with it. But for a lot of normies out there, they see Alex Jones talking about it, and they're able just to ignore it completely. Even though the facts are devastating, it's just like, yeah, well, but who cares? You know, it's just, yeah, well, but it's Alex Jones. So, you know, why should we give him any consideration? So I think what we need to do like a full-fledged, honest-to-God, authentic-looking, like 60 minutes piece, where it just presents everything in a totally unbiased and moderate way. Because even just the bare facts of this case presented in a moderate and unbiased way are shocking and horrifying. So we'll get into it. But that last hour of the Alex Jones Show was very powerful and, you know, very convincing if you actually care about the truth and being right and holding your government to account when it is just behaving in the most abominable and tyrannical way you can ever possibly imagine. But we got a lot to talk about. Beyond that, we're not going to be talking about Sandy Hook, but really at all today, but I didn't want to mention that we are working on stuff behind the scenes, and just, you know, maybe it's up to you to be bringing this up to your friends and family, and just, you know, instead of expecting them to accept when you're just like, you know, Alex Jones is dangerous, and so the deep state's trying to destroy him, like, they'll just go in one ear and out the other. But like, if you explain that there's an innocent guy that simply, like, said what he thought about an event, and that they have destroyed his entire life and basically rigged a trial right in front of everybody. Like, it's a crazy story. It's a crazy story, and it should be presented in a unbiased way, because you don't need to be biased to understand how insane this story is. But I hope you support us. And it is very easy to support us, and it's even easier now. And you've got 4 days. You've got 4 days to buy stuff from Infowars.com that actually have Infowars as a branding. Obviously, the Alex Jones store will continue to operate. If you've pre-ordered or, you know, subscribed to supplements, they'll continue to be delivered. You can continue to place orders at the Alex Jones store, and they will be fulfilled just like they always have been, because the AlexJonesStore.com is the engine for our escape pod. All right. We will continue to operate off of the AlexJonesStore.com. So no matter what, you can always go there. You can always order with confidence, knowing that you're going to get the best possible product that we can offer at a very good price, and you support this mission going forward. You are not contributing to the payouts to the bankruptcy at all. You're contributing to the rebuilding of InfoWars in a newer and cooler and better manifestation. These are awesome. Are these new coins? I haven't even seen these yet. Our coins are always cool, but I love the designs of those. Those look very cool. Those must be some of the new collectibles. Because this week, it's the last week you can buy InfoWars branded material. You are not going to be able to after Thursday at midnight. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And it is the best mega sale in InfoWars history, folks. And that's a lot like saying it's the, you know, greatest meme in InfoWars history, the greatest Alex Jones show in InfoWars history. It's like you're talking about a series of sales that are unprecedented, and this is the best that there's ever been. So we're just getting better and better, to tell you the truth. This is the final week to enter to win both the Ford Raptor and the custom H1 Hummer, plus $20,000 in cash, because every dollar you spend gets 100 times the entries to win both of these incredible cars, as well as $10,000 in cash each. Plus, we're giving you a free $10 to use on anything at thealexjonesstore.com. That's applied at checkout. Also, you get a free InfoWars dog tag. Right now, every order over $100 gets a free InfoWars dog tag collectible. And we're also pre-selling the silver rounds and the Faraday cage bag. We have new InfoWars silver rounds. It's a collector's piece. It's not just a silver round. It is a piece of InfoWars history. And for a limited time, you can get the InfoWars silver round rugged RF shielding roll top day pack together for just $249.99. So you get the silver round and the Faraday bag for under $250. And of course, it's well worth it at more than that. And again, April 30th will be your last chance to get official InfoWars products. So don't wait till then. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you and get a piece of history before it's too late. Now, we're going to get into the White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting and the shooter and the people suspecting that this was a false flag operation, which in and of itself is kind of hilarious to me. Ironic, at least, maybe is a better word for it. That, and we've talked about this before, in 2012, when the Sandy Hook shooting happened, a lot of people questioned it, to be honest with you, but it wasn't the most common reaction. Now, a shooting happens, an assassination attempt happens, a video goes viral, and 90% of people, it seems like, are questioning the official story, which is good because we've been lied to so much and everybody should be questioning the official story. The question is, when does that become detrimental to actually getting to the truth? Because you've got to be able to sort of puzzle things out logically. And even if you just have the bare minimum facts about what happened last night, it would be hard to understand how or why such a thing would be faked. And that's what you have to ask. Because as much as secret things happen, clandestine agreements are made, groups are carrying out secret operations all the time, they're still human beings. They still have to operate within reality. This isn't a computer program that they can just like change the code willy-nilly and just like see if it works. And if it doesn't, go back and change it again. Like, if you're going to have somebody go try to shoot up a place, they've either got to be brainwashed like MK Ultra to where they don't even know what the hell they're doing and it will just be considered insane when a psychologist ever tries to actually talk to them, or you have to actually convince them to go do this. And you can convince them for ulterior, like you might have ulterior motives to convince them. And, you know, you don't necessarily hate the president, but you want something to happen, you know, that needs the president assassination attempt to go. So you can feed into that. You'll feed into the hatred of Trump, or if you want to do a mass shooting at a grocery store, you can feed into racial hatred. It doesn't really matter. But like, if you're going to have somebody actually go and destroy their own lives for this, because Cole Allen, the shooter that's been caught now, or that was caught carrying it out, you know, basically was immediately tackled and brought down, his life is over. So what's the compensation for that? And he very well could have been killed. So like, if this is going to happen, you've either got to brainwash the guy like MK Ultra, you've got to convince him that it's the real deal. You have to like have him blackmailed or something. Cause again, you know, if somebody is facing life in prison, what is their incentive to keep their mouth shut? If this is part of a big, you know, multifaceted, multi-people operation, you've got to guarantee that that person's not going to talk and not going to make a plea deal to, you know, get his, the people he was working with in. What I'm saying is that just by looking at this on the face of it and the evidence that we already know, it's highly unlikely that it was a hoax in the traditional sense at all. I think it's much more likely that we've seen instance after instance after instance of leftist violence against right-wingers. And at every pass, the media supports the violence against right-wingers. And the right-wingers downplay it and brush it off and laugh at it or don't take it seriously. And yet every single time something like this happens, it's the exact same kind of profile. It's a radical leftist Democrat party adherent who repeats exactly the same talking points that the Republican or the Democrat leadership does, is radicalized straight up by the MSM and others, flagrantly lying about the Trump administration, right wingers, or whoever the target of their stochastic terrorism turns out to be. So what are we doing about this? So what is the response to this that should be happening? Because to me, it seems like 7 months ago or so, when Charlie Kirk was murdered in broad daylight in front of everybody, that would have been a great time to actually do the things that they pretended to do in the aftermath. Remember when they pretended to make Antifa a domestic terrorist organization, so they were going to find out who their funders were and round them all up and charge them with, you know, sufficient and appropriate crimes for their anti-American activity. That never happened. Remember when Kash Patel said he'd be removing the ADL from basically their position as instructors of the FBI? I don't think that ever happened either. There were a lot of promises made in the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk assassination that promised to go after the source of some of the radicalization that we're seeing across the country. None of it ever happened. And so all that happened was the left learned they can kill us with no consequence. In fact, they only benefit. In fact, since Charlie Kirk was murdered, we've gone completely off the rails and are at each other's throats. And at this point, the number one people questioning the assassination attempt last night are right-wingers who are suspicious of Trump and, you know, just don't buy anything he says anymore, which is like, why? Why? Okay, maybe it's fake. Okay, maybe. So what? So like, until we find evidence of that, until you can actually tell me who would be staging it and for what reason, let's just assume that it's exactly what it looks like. Let's just assume that this was a radicalized leftist teacher from California that thought he'd be a hero by going and murdering a bunch of people around Donald Trump. And of course he would have been. Of course we've seen the evidence. We don't even need to speculate. There's already been murders occurred that were way less justified by any means, right? Obviously, I'm not trying to justify the assassination of Donald Trump at all. At all. But at least it's like, you know, a political assassination against like a key leader that would cause significant change. Like, okay, I can at least see how a radical would choose that as a target. But what about the cold-blooded backstabbing murder of Brian Thompson, the healthcare CEO? Never hurt anybody, never did anything bad. In fact, was one of the only people at the insurance company who seemed to notice and care about the damage that the insurance company was doing and was working to mitigate the, you know, unintended consequences of the insurance industry, right? Brian Thompson was the one going, hey, we should try to keep people healthy, not just cure them once they're sick. Hey, we should be paying people to like do regular doctor checkups instead of just waiting until they're about to die and then going into the hospital and costing us a ton of money. He was actually working towards correcting the issues of the insurance industry as it stands now. And he was shot in the back, and then mainstream so-called moderate lefties with, you know, very prominent positions and profiles in the American public are out there celebrating it, you know, talking about what a hero Luigi Mangione is, and, you know, crowds of people outside of his jail cell celebrating him. And it's like accepted. So all this is to say that we have a gigantic, totally unaddressed problem in this country, which is leftist violence, which is violence from the left. And it's motivated by any of the leftist fabricated grievances, whether it's white supremacy or imperialism or racism or whatever the nonsense is these people have their heads filled up with. It's all pushing in the same direction. It's all on purpose, and it's all designed to destroy the United States completely, because while the left is just openly, again, just flagrantly violent. I mean, there's so many examples of this. There was a guy, I think his name's Christian Hines on X. He's one of the best Twitter followers. I've recommended him a lot. And I guess he was doxxed because you've got these Jewish groups running around. You've got these leftist groups running around. They have friends inside X. They have friends inside big tech. They get access to your information. Then they publish it through a site like StopAntisemitism.com, who has published the profile of the spouses of both Cenk Uygur and Anna Kasparian, who are totally apolitical. Cenk's wife is a therapist, I think, and Anna's husband, like, coaches baseball. Stop Antisemitism just recently, like, put out their profiles, their faces, basically saying these people are extremists and shouldn't be allowed to have jobs, because apparently Jews in this country have just appointed themselves to dictate who can and can't live in our country based on whether they or somebody associated with them or one of their family members is sufficiently subservient enough to the Israelis. And if you're not, then they'll go out of your way to destroy you, and they'll have access to these hacker tools or the back end of big tech companies in order to find your identity, in order to try to destroy your life. And nobody's doing anything about any of this. But Christian Hines was doxxed, I guess, by somebody, and Hassan Piker's fans are just photoshopping images of him being killed and just openly threatening to murder him. And nobody gets removed. Nobody gets canceled. Nobody gets, kicked off of X. And it's not like this is a new thing. It's not like this is a unexpected thing. It's not like this is even, you know, something that we haven't been faced with ourselves. I mean, there's time a couple years ago where like my full docs were up on X. I reported it. I tried to like, but then you're stuck in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because what you should be able to do is like call to your audience and say, hey, everybody go report this post. But now you're just reposting and drawing attention to the post that has all your personal information. So there's no real good way to deal with it. But this has been the case for a long time. Lefties get to make death threats. They get to dox you and get away with it. On the right wing, if you simply go to your school board meeting and protest the inclusion of graphic homosexual pornography in your elementary school, you're going to go on a list and you're going to be targeted and you're going to be questioned by the FBI. And so once again, just like everything else we deal with in this country and with this administration in particular, we are facing an existential crisis that they are not just utterly failing to address in any meaningful way at all. If anything, they're making it worse, and they continually make it worse. And by not acting, by not raising a finger to help the actual American people that are trying to get this country back on track, they are ensuring that we lose forever, which is why, personally, I'm more mad at the right than I am at the left right now. I'm more mad at the Republicans than I am at the Democrats. Of course, Democrats are insane, psychotic children. We know that. It's the right wing that's supposed to stomp them into the dirt and say, shut the hell up, go away, you're an idiot. We won't do that. We listen to them endlessly for some reason. So it's like, yes, the Democrats, the insane lefties out there, they are like a rabid dog. They're like a rabid pit bull. But the Republicans are the one that threw the pit bull into the preschool and slammed the door shut, all right? I'm not all that mad at the pit bull for doing what's in its nature. I'm mad at the scumbags that are setting us up to take the fall for it, that are setting us up to be the victims of the insane rabid pit bull, that all they've done is kick him in the nuts, poke him in the eye, and then pointed him towards us. That's how it feels at this point. And we're going to see more assassination attempts before this gets fixed.
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world. And they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them. Because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami. Look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute, total rage towards you and your family. You're a hard-working middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class Hispanic family, they
Forget the polls and listen. Domney's back with an ancient invention.
Do this.
If you need public support, just fake your own hit and treat it as a sport.
Was it ever real, yo?
Hell no. But people like to root for the underdog, so if you need a problem, yo, just fake it. Create a spectacle and let the lefties take it. Now that the PSYOP is pumping, everyone's hype and reporters are jumping. Use that. Diversion as fuel, put a band-aid on it.
Everything's cool if they
start asking about your year.
Just fit it like me for the past 30 years.
The good assassination will never fail, he, so you can run the master plans of the Israelis. And when you mess up a big dirty war, just say, look, we won like you did before. If you need a problem, yo, just fake it. Just make it look real and let the lefties take it.
Secret Service agent in charge of protecting Trump the day of the second assassination attempt.
You guys don't have any weapons or anything?
Give me a handshake that you don't have any guns. Don't make me look stupid. A lot of people have been coming up to me and saying, why didn't you do a better sweep? And I just want to defend the work that I'm doing. Pinky swear?
What?
No, they're clear. I mean, the shooter's actually lucky I didn't find him because I would have grabbed that Yeah, I think we have to go back to Wendy's.
So it's over there.
Alright, I think we've been clearing the wrong place for the last 2 hours. People like to think it's some easy job. I'm on my feet 8 hours a day, hungover from the night before, because when I get to a city, I like to rock out with the locals, get some intel if there's any shooters.
Long day, though.
No, just easy day.
Well, it was long for me.
Cops really start spazzing up after a day of sweeping. At the after hours, some guy was bragging that he stabbed a guy back in the day, so I told him not to come. That's one less threat right there.
I think I lost my keys somewhere.
Sing a song to President Trump. I will follow you. Follow you wherever you may go.
Well, if you see anything weird, hit me up.
Back on the path of righteousness, solid morals, and common
decency. No, I think this guy's good.
If you let me rock a slice, I'll turn a blind eye.
Now they've taken me off golf course duty altogether, which sucks because I'm actually nasty on the course.
Okay, would you also pinky swear?
Sometimes when things get a little slow, you can squeak the clubs in, sneak in a few holes. Actually, you know what? Can you delete that part? AT&T, how can I help you? I put in a few extra hours at the call center when I have some downtime. Hashtag overemployed. Truth is, I never really wanted to be a Secret Service agent. My true passion is rad. Metaphorical, astrological, anatomical.
Yo, you guys want to just fuck off and hit the ponies?
Amazing stuff. Ryan Long there. Ryan Long giving us a frankly accurate look at the qualities and capabilities of the Secret Service. Now, we're on display yesterday during the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Of course, this is, you know, one of the things about... Well, I don't know. I guess it could kind of go either way. I was going to say one thing about false flags is, like, they tend to be a little bit messy. They're a little rough around the edges. But then again, it could be too cut and dry as well. You sort of got to judge it either way. because as far as things appear, this is the most like cut and dry thing you've ever seen. It's a radical leftist who just repeats all the same talking points that the left does. And he wanted to kill Trump and become a hero. Like, it's not actually all that complicated. And he wrote a manifesto explaining why. And it all seems pretty clear cut. I'm not even sure what the ulterior motive would be. I see people pointing to, like, the ballroom. And I'll tell you, this ballroom thing, like, what the hell is going on with what is the ballroom? What is it? I don't think it's just a ballroom anymore. It's become a thing. It's like inexplicable to me. Started out like a year ago with Trump being like, I'm going to add a ballroom to the White House. And it's like, okay, fine. Who cares? Like, who cares? Stuff gets done to the White House all the time. They like redo the Rose Garden. They take out a basketball court and put in a tennis court. They change the swimming pool. I mean, stuff happens all the time. So it's like, okay, they're going to build a ballroom. Great. Sounds fun. Anyway, moving on. And now it's like the only thing that Trump talks about. Like, what is it? Well, why is it such a thing? Like, what is going on with it? I don't get it. I see people, I like the people are saying, it's the ballroom with two A's, B-A-A-L, room. I've also seen people associated with the Solomon's Temple. Apparently the design is, kind of curious, but like it's sort of such a great example of how off the rails we've gone is, and I know Alex talked a lot about people being like, oh, this was a false flag to make Erica Kirk's threat seem more legitimate. Again, yeah, I agree. That's nonsense. Total horse manure. Like, what are you even talking about? But I've seen an equal number of people be like, this was to get Republicans to support Trump's ballroom. And it's just like, what? You're telling me they staged an assassination attempt so that Republicans would get on board with the ballroom that's already being built? Like, what are we talking about? What the hell are you talking about? False flags to start wars? Okay, yeah. False flags to psyop an entire nation into multiple series of wars? Okay, yeah, you're going to pull off a false flag. A false flag to kill a rising and you know, influential political figure? Okay, sure, you're going to want to pull that off and blame it on somebody else. That makes sense. But it's like, what? But you think this is about the ballroom? And apparently it is. I mean, Trump has made this all about, but he keeps talking about the ballroom. And I'm sorry, what the hell? Why are we talking about a ballroom? Can we not just build a ballroom and just, it can just, they announce they're going to build it. You forget about it. A year later, they're like, it's done. You're like, oh, right, a ballroom. Yeah, I forgot. Oh, it looks nice. Like, that should be it. That should be the extent of our knowledge about the White House ballroom. And it doesn't seem, you know, a lot of times what happens is Trump tries to do something very normal, and then it's the left that goes completely insane about it. And maybe the weird thing, the most weird thing about the ballroom is I don't know any lefties who give a damn. I don't think anyone cares. I don't get it. So it's like, because typically what would happen would be, it'd be Trump like, we're going to build a big ballroom. We need a ballroom. It's going to be huge and beautiful. And everybody's Trump supporters like, okay, makes sense. Cool. Do that behind the scenes, whatever. Deportate. Can we get to mass deportations now? And then we would just move on and whatever. And then the left would go, Trump is trying to make a ballroom where he will be hanging black people by their necks until dead. And it's like, well, what? And it's like the racist history of the ballroom. Do you know that balls were once held during lynching ceremonies for Jews in the 1200s? And it's like, what? What? Like, typically, Trump does something normal, like build a ballroom, and it's the left who decides to extrapolate it out to be some insane plot by Trump, and then we have to sit here going, what the hell are you talking about? It's just a ballroom. But now, it's Trump making the ballroom, nobody cares, but every time he's asked about anything, he's like, but the ballroom, though. But have you seen my ballroom? It was what he said when he was asked about Charlie Kirk for the first time. Sir, your adopted son has been murdered on live TV. What do you have to say to that? Well, I'm building this big ballroom over here. What is going on with the ballroom? The more I talk, the more I think about it now, the more I realize, like, how crazy this is. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it yet, but, like, why do I have 4 videos about the ballroom? Why are there entire articles about the ballroom? What the hell? Why do people think that there's an assassination attempt faked just to build the ballroom that's already being built and that nobody cares about? This is just you, people. We need to have some sort of barrier to conspiracy theories. You're not allowed to speculate if you haven't had a successful conspiracy theory play out at least once before. We've got feathers in our cap, folks. We called COVID-19 to a T. We called the war with Iran to a T. We've nailed all of this stuff repeatedly because we base our suppositions and our analysis off of what is real and makes sense. But now the whole sector is flooded with people who think everything in the world is about Erica Kirk and the ballroom. And it's just like, what the hell are we doing here, y'all? You're messing up our groove. Okay. We're trying to get to real things. And by the way, why does anybody think it's a false flag? It's a crazy leftist who got caught. He's got a manifesto. Like, false flags almost always have certain, like, the people die as they're pulling it off. I mean, look at Butler. And as much as I think the Butler attack was legitimate, like it was an actual attack, I think we have the photos that show the bullet whizzing by. I've been over it over and over, just all of the various things that happened that make me believe it actually occurred. But it's like the guy who tries to pull it off gets no resistance for a long time. Like if last night the guy at the White House Correspondents' Dinner had run all the way into the ballroom and like gotten shots off at Trump, like, okay, now we're talking about, this was kind of crazy. In Butler, the guy spends 5 minutes in full view of everybody setting his shot up while people are yelling and pointing, shooter on the roof, shooter on the roof. Then, you know, somebody dies. You know, the people in the background actually get hit by the bullets and end up dying. Trump gets hit in the ear, and then the assassin is killed, and it gets completely buried, and there's no investigation into who he was in contact with, and all of his internet activity had been completely scrubbed, and all of the silverware in his house had been scrubbed to the point where it didn't even have fingerprints on it anymore, and then it's completely buried, and it goes away, and then that's it. That's not necessarily a hoax, but a false flag, certainly. That certainly has the conditions of a false flag. Again, not saying that the wound wasn't real or the bullets weren't real. I think they were real. A false flag means the attack happened, but was then blamed on somebody else. Again, I think people get confused by this. Anyway, the point is, like, okay, we have examples of assassination attempts or, you know, major political public events where you can see what it looks like when things aren't adding up. You can see how things go when certain facts are being withheld and, you know, they pretend not to know things that they definitely know. I mean, we can see what it looks like. So then when you look at this White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting, the guy's got a manifesto where he explains about the Trump admin targeted kill list. He wrote that he prioritized them from highest ranking to lowest. This is from Infowars.com. Gunman's manifesto reveals Trump admin target list prioritized from highest ranking to lowest. The shooter's intent was to target Trump and admin officials. The shooter had donated to Harris for President via ActBlue. The shooter was apprehended and taken into custody carrying a shotgun, handgun, and several knives. The shooter has been identified as Cole Thomas Allen, 31, of Torrance, California. No injuries to Trump or any guests. Incidents near lobby magnometer. It's the metal detectors. I don't know what this new word is that they're trying to make happen. Trump praised Secret Service rapid response. But here's where it gets a little confusing. Here's where we get the wild cards coming in. There are a couple of synchronicities, you might say, that are heretofore unexplained and seemingly inexplicable. So people search the name of the shooter, Cole Allen. And they found that, oh yeah, and the Israeli magician, that's a whole other wrinkle in all of this. But they searched his name, Cole Allen, and they find a Twitter account from several years ago that tweeted one time, and they wrote the words Cole Allen. And the profile picture of this account from years ago is a picture of, it's a classic picture of the internet meme Pepe the Frog. He's holding a champagne glass and wearing a tuxedo, and it looks like really shockingly similar to how Trump looked at that exact moment. Like, there are just a few coincidences too many for this not to make you ask questions. I'm not sure if we – let's go to clip 29 here. This is – I guess he goes by Goth Daddy, but I think he brings up a good point about whether this was staged or not and whether it even matters. And then I'll show you the really creepy, weird stuff, the inexplicable connections here in just a second. Let's go to 29 here. This is commenter Goth Daddy. I don't know, but he makes a good point. Let's watch.
A lot of people are saying, like, it's staged. It's irrelevant. I think by this point, it's fucking redundant if it is or not. I think it's utterly irrelevant if it's staged or not. Those trans people that went around with guns shooting children in schools, those were not staged. That was real, tangible, undeniable leftist violence. It's not staged. That was a real leftist whose mind had been fucking addled, mixed, rotted to the core.
All right, so that's him making the point that it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter whether it was real or not, because the fact is we do have these lefties running around our country that are insane, that their brains are addled with the drugs and the propaganda and the hatred poured into their ears continuously from the time they were children. They are violent. They are proud of being violent. I mean, my God, we had elementary school teachers on camera, you know, mocking Charlie Kirk getting shot in the neck. These people are insane, and we have to do something about it. And I know conservatives are very scared to do this because it feels a little bit like censorship, because what you're saying is these ideas these people are spreading are poisonous and bad for our country and inspiring violence. But the moment they inspire violence, you have to do something about them. You have to counter-program. You have to send counselors in to say, look, this is, and you have to certainly stop schools from pushing this on children. I mean, we have to reclaim sanity in this country. We have to reclaim sanity. We have to just stop giving the benefit of the doubt, stop giving credence to these psychopaths, because we are being destroyed by our own endless tolerance and empathy for psychotics, for people who are completely and utterly insane. And they're pushing that insanity on everybody else. So I think we can go to clip 29 here. I'm just trying to figure out how to lay out like this weird time traveling aspect of this assassination. I think we can go to clip 28 here. So you've got this Twitter account with the Pepe that looks exactly like Donald Trump, saying Cole Allen's the only thing that he said. His profile picture is the Pepe. His profile banner header image is a sort of vague picture of a bunch of colors. But if you look at it in a certain way, you can kind of see this overlay of the famous picture. And it's, you know, it may, there's a term for this, pareidolia or whatever it's called, where it's basically, you know, you see eyes, you see faces and things that there aren't eyes or faces. And this may be something similar. Maybe you could find other images and overlay it on top of it. But it's a little bit interesting, and it's not something I would pay too much attention to, except that that image apparently came from a website that is a time-traveling website, apparently, which is a little bit suspicious. And there's all of this stuff about young Trump, Barron Trump, and all this stuff. It gets very strange. Let's go to clip 18 here. This is by somebody named Dimitri Revolt, and he, well, you'll see it go through quickly, but I think this gives you a good idea of sort of what I'm trying to get across here. Let's go to clip 18 now. It's a little fast, a little schizophrenic. But you got to admit there's something there, right? Like, the number of coincidences. So you've got this guy, Henry Martinez, anonymous account, with the Pepe, holding the champagne with the bow tie and the tux. But his one tweet on December 21st, 2023, was Cole Allen. December 21st, is it the solstice? What's the one? Yeah, not the equinox. Isn't that the winter solstice, December 21st? Wasn't it December 21st, 2012, that they thought the Mayan calendar ended that day, December 21st, itself kind of strikes me as maybe a bit suspicious. And again, the image of Trump wearing the tuxedo with the champagne glass in exactly the right place. I mean, okay, maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe. But he posts one tweet, and all it says is Cole Allen. And that's it. In 2023. And then he's got a header that says Time Machine, and it does kind of look like that famous picture from the assassination in 2025. So, or 2024 rather, was the Butler, Pennsylvania assassination. Are you suspicious? And then you've got the 1893 is the last part of his username, which again, almost harkens back to 4chan and the idea of trips, where essentially every post gets a randomly generated number ID, or not randomly generated, but it generates the next one in the sequence. And there's sort of this magic eight ball effect or Ouija board effect on 4chan, where if your ID number ended with a series of the same number over and over and over, then it was seen as, it was kind of a joke, you know, on 4chan. And as the video said, you know, there's this, it kind of gets complicated, but this is like synchronicity. This goes back to like 2015, 2016. This was a very big deal. And it is crazy. All of this stuff is legitimately like questionable. Because what happens is there is this sort of feedback loop. It's a Ouija board thing where somebody posts something. If it's a good post and it has the ID with the three sevens at the end or three sixes at the end, then people will notice that and they'll point that out, and it's kind of like, oh, this is an important post. It got trips. Even though it's random, it's a self-fulfilling sort of thing, because posts that aren't good and are trash but have the triple numbers, like, just nobody notices and it just sort of goes through. But what happens is there comes this like positive feedback loop where you notice the posts that have the extra numbers on the end, and then they get more attention and they seem more profound or more, you know, predicting that way. And it all centered around this idea of Keck, K-E-K, being a god. And as I understand it, and this could be wrong, but as I understand it, I think in World of Warcraft forums at one point, people were saying LOL so much that they banned LOL. And so then people started saying L-E-L to say laugh out loud, and then they banned that. And so then people started saying K-E-K. And it basically just meant laugh out loud, but because LOL was banned in these chat in the World of Warcraft, and again, I could be wrong about this, but this is where you get the word Keck, and it became this whole thing where it was like, oh, everybody, all the minorities are getting special benefits for being minorities. Let's all say we're from a made up country. Let's call it Kekistan. Isn't that funny? And so it became this like big thing on 4chan, and then people found out that there was like an ancient Egyptian god named Keck, who was the god of chaos, who was symbolized by a frog. And then you've got Pepe the frog as the symbol of 4chan, and 4chan being an engine of chaos. And it was all this like synchronicity stuff. And then you had discovered these books from 1893 called Barron Trump's Marvelous Journey to the Center of the Earth, I think is one of them. And then there was another one called The Last President. And I believe they're by the same guy, Ingersoll Lockwood. Is that it? Ingersoll Lockwood. Now, I remember being on 4chan when the first person posted this book, and they were just like, guys, this is weird. And I think the first one was The Last President, because The Last President is a story. It's a novel from the 1890s, And it's saying the last president of the United States was elected, and he was a businessman who had a tower on Fifth Avenue, and he's watching from his tower on Fifth Avenue as all of the leftist socialists are like rioting because he won the election. And it's crazy how like, the associations to Donald Trump are like beyond coincidence. You know, in that video, they show a bunch of the Illuminati cards, and it's like, okay, is it really Trump, or is it just a blonde guy and they kind of look similar? But when you're talking about a business magnate that decided to run for president and lives on a tower in Fifth Avenue and all this stuff, the coincidences were incredible. And then they found Baron Trump's Marvelous Journey, where a character named Baron Trump travels through time by going to the center of the earth. And it's like, is something here? What is this? Are we all going insane, or is the earth telling us something?
In a world where globalist, depopulationist, principalities, and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing Zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the info war today by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com and picking up a bottle of Zeolite.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at @RealAlexJones and at @AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. Very glad that you're here with us today. We're going to move on now. I think we're going to move on. I mean, we could just go on. We could just go on and on about the, I guess we'll finish. I'll finish up here in the 5 minutes about this assassination attempt at the White House Correspondents' Center. Again, I don't think it's necessary to like speculate. I think it all seems fairly clear cut what happened here. I don't know what the ulterior motive would be for staging this, except to build a ballroom that's already being built. That doesn't make any sense. So I think it pretty much happened as we think it happened. The question is, why is Trump so cavalier about his safety? Why is Secret Service allow him to, you know, be put in so much danger? And what the hell is up with these coincidences about the time traveling Pepe the Frog? This is actually very confusing and concerning and strange and very strange. It's all very strange. But let's go to clip number 23 here. This is Caroline Levitt. And she made a couple good points here, and a couple not very good points. Let's first go to clip. I don't know. I mean, we're in an increasingly tough spot, basically. So we can go to clip 23 here first. This is Caroline Levitt earlier today.
When you read the manifesto of this shooter, ask yourselves, how different is the rhetoric from this almost assassin than what you read on social media and hear in various forums every single day? The answer, if you're being honest with yourself, is that there is no difference at all. Much of the manifesto of the would-be assassin is indistinguishable from the words that we hear daily from so many.
Okay, so, I mean, that's true. And at the same time, I don't want to give the government the right to say, oh, well, if we don't censor you, it's going to lead to violence. You're allowed to criticize people. But, like, there's got to be a middle ground. There's got to be a way that we can keep tabs on the people that are using this type of rhetoric, as well as look into like the finances of the people pushing this type of rhetoric. Because I feel like you'd find a bunch of intertwined criminality all throughout there. And, you know, maybe we'll get back into it, because once again, we're in a situation where with the left, they're insane. They're out there trying to kill people and actually killing people and doing all this stuff. And the right wingers won't do anything about it. Meanwhile, I've got all these stories about the revelations of exactly how and why the Biden administration basically tried to criminalize motherhood, you know? So it's like, I'm not saying I want to do something like criminalize motherhood. I'm just saying, if the left can go so far, can we not go a quarter that far? Okay, the left is insane, and they're literally just like, they want to destroy the right. So they're like, what do right-wingers like? Mothers. Let's attack that. Oh, there are mothers that are concerned that we're poisoning the minds of their children. Let's destroy the mothers. Like, they're evil, but they're hardcore, and they go out of their way to try to win the battle of people's minds by, like, force if necessary. We just want people who are openly calling for assassinations to stop doing that, and we can't get it done. But here's Caroline Leavitt, and I think this is a great point. Clip 25 here, calling out Jimmy Kimmel.
For example, as the First Lady of the United States pointed out this morning, just 2 days prior to the shooting, ABC's late night host Jimmy Kimmel disgustingly called First Lady Melania Trump an expectant widow. Who in their right minds says a wife would be glowing over the potential murder of her beloved husband?
And like, really, really think about this, y'all. We can bring it down. And, you know, it's the obvious thing, but like, can you imagine a late night show host when Obama was president going, looking good, Michelle, your husband's going to be dead soon. Aren't you excited? Someone's going to kill the president, and I'm in favor of that. All jokes, right? No, you people are freaks.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. And you said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
No spin, no surrender. This is Harrison Smith on the War Room, with live streams firing on X and band.video.
Welcome back, folks. This is a final note about the White House Correspondents' Dinner shooting last night, the attack against the Trump administration. I just thought this was very well said by Glenn Greenwald. And this was in response to somebody saying, you know, basically criticizing Republicans for pointing out that, yeah, you've got a attempted murderer whose manifesto could have been ripped straight out of, you know, Rachel Maddow's monologue. You've got a culture of celebrating death, celebrating assassinations. Actually, and look, I'm not blaming it on Israel. I'm just kidding. But what I'm thinking, what it's like, it is this mindset of, and it's what we've complained about when it comes to Israel forever, because you've got Israel who it's like, if you oppose us, then we deserve to kill you, right? If you have a copy of Mein Kampf, then it's a good thing that we burned your family alive. Like this death mindset that's so extreme and so poisonous that it inspires the opposite. That because of the rhetoric like that, you've got people on the other side going, oh, okay, if that's how it is, then we should kill all the Jews. And it's like, all right, well, now we're just in this back and forth cycle of murder and chaos and vindictiveness and victimhood. And it's just poison. It's just endless poison perpetuating each other. And I just see a similar thing happening here in America. And it's this shift of a mindset away from our traditional, way. And I mean, again, it's kind of, it's like you look back in history, and it's like, no wonder the people that are here now are trying to like tear down the Confederate statues that were raised by the Union shortly after the Civil War. Because back when the Union Confederacy fought each other, sure, they were murdering each other. They were tearing each other's throats out on the battlefield. But when it was over, you shook hands and you had mutual respect for one another. That doesn't exist anymore. Now it's, you know, murder them all, kill them all, tear down their statues, melt it down into, you know, some disgusting piece of modern art. It's this vicious, like, they deserve it. You know, Charlie Kirk questioned DEI, so he deserved to be murdered on live TV. You know, Donald Trump, whatever, you know, it was friends with Jeffrey Epstein, therefore his whole family deserves to be murdered. It's this extremism that's making its way into our country, and it's destroying the fabric of our country, like in a very, very, very serious way. And again, you would think that like decent Americans would be horrified by some of this stuff. You've got Jimmy Kimmel saying you look like an expectant widow. Again, like how crazy would it be for anybody during the Obama administration to be like, oh, you look nice. Michelle, you look like an expectant widow. Yeah, we think someone's going to kill your husband, and we're happy for that. We're excited for that. On national TV, you know, A-list name recognition celebrity, Jimmy Kimmel, just like casually being like, yeah, we all want your husband dead, bleeding out in front of you. We want to watch him die, and you're supposed to laugh when I say that. Like, do you understand how poisonous these people are, these ideas are? So, yeah, it's not like, oh, you have to go to jail for insulting the president. That's seems like what they're setting up now. It seems like what Caroline Leavitt is hinting at. She's like, these, you know, these ideas on social media that are being spread around, they sound like the guy who did violence. Therefore, I guess we have to, you know, censor social media to an even greater degree. Like, no, we're not down with that. President Trump wants Kimmel fired for despicable call to violence. The first lady suggested ABC should take a stand against Jimmy Kimmel after the comments on his show's alternative White House Correspondents' Dinner speech ahead of the shooting at the event. I mean, he also made light of and lied about and mocked the death of Charlie Kirk. So yeah, something does have to be done about this. I don't know what exactly, but clearly there are too many people that are too brainwashed in this country to have the appropriate response that they should have, that anybody should have. They've been radicalized. They've been made into extremists. Which, and I see it everywhere, and I really do see just like the tide is rising. You know, all of these things are rising. The political violence, the justification for political violence, the dog eat dog, like to the death, winner takes all mindset that we see in the Middle East, where it's just, okay, if you don't like me, then I have to kill you, and I'm going to kill your whole family and, you know, lie about it. And it's just like, I mean, talk about malicious. So here's what Glenn Greenwald had to say about it. So again, you got people going, oh, it's dangerous for Republicans to say that it's Democrat rhetoric that's causing this. We don't need to listen to them. We literally just need to shut them up. I don't know when we're going to learn this lesson, but as soon as we do, everything will get better. As soon as we realize these people genuinely don't care about free speech, genuinely don't care about our rights, they don't care about the Bill of Rights, they don't give a damn about it, so like it shouldn't apply to them. It's not that complicated, actually. And it's, again, kind of ubiquitous, kind of everywhere. Like when they're out there going, as soon as we get into office, we're going to arrest the Trump family. We're going to come up with crimes and throw them in jail. It's like the only responsible thing to do at that point is arrest those people. What are they going to say? Oh, no, you're not allowed to do that. You can't arrest me for a political purpose. It's like, well, too bad. I just did. So again, if when they wanted to, they got the entire academic industry in this country to bend to their will, because it had to do with Israel, and they are willing to flex their muscles when it comes to Israel. So what did they do? They got in contact with Harvard and said, you change your curriculum, you change your guidelines, you change your mindset, or we're bankrupting you. And they changed their mindset. They have more tools available to them, the United States government, than you could ever possibly imagine. They will not use them to protect the American people. They will not use them to stop the violent rhetoric of the left. They will use them to stop rhetoric that's anti-Semitic. They will use them to deport people that are against Israel. They will use them to crush universities that aren't sufficiently pro-Israel. They are willing to use the powers of the federal government as long as it's not for the benefit of the American people. The instant that it's the American people that are being targeted, American people that are being lied about or threatened or victimized, then it becomes, well, you know, we got this free speech stuff and it's just, we just can't do anything about it. Or really, they're anti-Semitic. Oh, well, throw them in jail then. Throw them in jail immediately. So don't fall for the crap from the left. They don't care about free speech. They'll invoke it to try to get away with their crap, but they don't believe in it. So either we can stick to, you know, free speech, even when it's clearly being abused by people that are incapable of upholding it. That's the thing about freedoms, is you have to be worthy of them, obviously. And if we don't do something about stopping their insane propaganda they're filling children's heads with, then we're going to lose the First Amendment forever, right? So because we're unwilling to, you know, curtail the First Amendment for just obviously radical foreign communists trying to destroy our country, we cannot touch them. We cannot even moderately interfere with, you know, what they're doing. We have to fund it, actually. It has to be taxpayer dollars that pour into it, actually, forever. We have to fund the operation to kill all of us, or else we don't really believe in free speech and we're hypocrites. But if we're not willing to stop that drive, then we're going to actually lose free speech forever. So those are our options at this point. I don't know what everybody else feels about that, but that is how it is. That is just the facts of where we are at this point. So we can move ahead with that in mind, or we can pretend that's not the case and then die. And then we can die because they're going to kill us. And they're talking about it and we're not doing anything about it. So what do you expect? Here's what Glenn Greenwald had to say. When a white supremacist gunned down 10 black people in a Buffalo supermarket in 2022, the New York Times' Jay Bowie and other liberals blamed mainstream conservatives for, quote, inspiring anti-immigration views in whose name the shooter killed. Bowie claimed in the New York Times that the killer's manifesto was, quote, virtually indistinguishable from mainstream Republican rhetoric. The conservatives thus bear blame. Liberals wanted Jack Smith to prosecute Trump for the violence on January 6th based on the same theory that Trump, quote, inspired the January 6th violence because his speech inspired that violence, and they acted in the name of Trump's repeated claim that the 2020 election was stolen. The right also embraces this theory, as they're doing now, blaming liberals and Trump critics for last night's WHCD shooter because the would-be assassin's manifesto showed he acted in the name of common anti-Trump sentiments. Ironically, last night's shooter actually did read and liked many liberal statements, including those of Jamel Bowie, Will Stancil, and other partisan liberal luminaries. All of this is dumb. Words are not violence. You are not responsible for someone's violent act because they share some or even all of your views. The Supreme Court has repeatedly said that preserving the distinction between words and violence is vital for basic conceptions of free speech. See Claiborne versus NAACP, 1982. You allowed to express opposition to open borders, and you're allowed to express to criticize the American president even harshly without being held responsible if some lunatic uses violence in the name of your views. And he points out that in 2022, you had headlines like, the slaughter in Buffalo hasn't quieted the Great Replacement Caucus. Make no mistake, the idea that apparently inspired a white supremacist who's accused of injuring more than a dozen people last Saturday at a supermarket in Buffalo, that nefarious elites are using immigration to replace white Americans with pliant foreigners, is virtually indistinguishable from mainstream Republican rhetoric. Which I agree, you can't blame people for, rhetoric. But there's a little bit of a difference, though. I see a bit of a difference in a couple different ways. For one thing, the Great Replacement is real and is happening and is talked about and is obvious. And so essentially what they're saying in that case is, stop telling the truth. It's inspiring people to attack us. Which is a little bit different than stop lying. It's causing people to attack us. See, they want to silence the truth because if people knew the truth about things like the Great Replacement, they would be pissed off and they wouldn't stand for it. So they want to silence that. And they're going to blame the rhetoric about the Great Replacement for violence committed because it's convenient and they want to shut down that type of rhetoric about the Great Replacement. But the left's a little bit different. In fact, it's extremely different. And again, this really is a crucial difference between the right and the left. They have to understand. I know they portray the right wing as a bunch of stuff, but like, we genuinely don't want there to be violence. We genuinely don't want political assassinations to happen in this country, or non-political assassinations like what happened to Brian Thompson, the UnitedHealthcare CEO, who was killed by a Luigi character. We genuinely don't want that to happen and are genuinely against it happening. The left is not, and they celebrate it, and they laugh about it, and they mock it. And you just never see that the other way around. So it's not even necessarily like again, I would say when it comes to, Glenn Greenwald's thing, yes, it is ridiculous to say you're not allowed to talk about the racial replacement taking place in your country because some guy shot up a supermarket, happened to agree with you. That's obviously ridiculous. On the other hand, you've got people like Jimmy Kimmel, one of the top, 100 most recognizable names in America. There's not a lot of people who've been on national TV for the last 30 years like he has. And he's up there making jokes, quote unquote jokes, about how Melania's about to be a widow. So again, you can't act like it's like, well, the Republicans, they discuss the fact that demographic change is being foisted on white people against their will, and the left wing goes on TV and openly brags about how they want Trump to die. And these are the same. No, these are not the same. These are completely different, and you have to use discrimination and discernment to tell which one is bad and which one is not bad. People recognizing they're being attacked demographically and replaced in their own country and saying, hey, we're against this, that's not a bad thing. A major, prominent, popular figure in America openly and in not a joking way, but in all seriousness, approving of an assassination against the president, like that's something entirely different. Do we not get this? Is this hard to understand? I swear this is like such a constant thing forever. People just don't know how to like look at things principally. Oh, you just look at what is actually happening. It's like people can't do it. Again, you cannot imagine. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of just like relearning all this stuff after the Charlie Kirk murder. Cause I remember in my own life, I had people who are like, normal people, they're like mothers, you wouldn't expect them. But there's like, well, Charlie Kirk, maybe he shouldn't have said some of the things he said. Like, well, he was the one that downplayed gun violence. And it's like, you think he deserved to die because he said, yeah, guns are violent, but it's still important that we have them. So he deserved to be shot in the head. When you've got Like, and these, you know, if you were to ask, like, are you a radical? They're like, I'm the farthest thing from a radical. Absolutely not. Okay, you just think that, like, political violence is, like, kind of understandable. Like, a young father should be murdered in front of his children. It's just like, that's kind of just what he gets for disagreeing with you. Like, do they not realize how far gone they are at this point? So in a way, I'm really not interested in talking to those people. They are actual cattle. Okay? Like, they actually don't have souls. I'm not even kidding with you. I think if people can watch what happened to Charlie Kirk and just go, well, you know, maybe he shouldn't have said what he said. Like, I consider those people not worthy of life. Charlie Kirk would never say anything like that. That sentiment alone makes those people so much worse than Charlie Kirk ever could have possibly been. I think it kind of puts them on the level of, like, Hitler, but, like, I don't know. I think they're worse than Hitler. Hitler at least tried to get the Jews to move away before killing them. They just think you deserve to die because of a mild disagreement, because you don't understand the things that Charlie Kirk talked about, so therefore he deserves to die. And I genuinely don't know what it's going to take for people to understand where we are in this country and what it's going to take to get back. Because the good news about that is those people who in any normal circumstance would seem like a lovely, upstanding, you know, generous person, but they're willing to, like, kill Charlie Kirk. The thing is, they genuinely, literally do not think for themselves. They don't have thoughts. They don't have opinions. They don't have views on things. They are repeater stations. They are puppets. They are logs. They're nothing. So the good news is, if you just feed different information into their phone or TV, they will think different things. They didn't come to these conclusions on their own volition. They didn't look at what Charlie Kirk said, research the evidence, found that he was wrong and that he was extreme, and then they came to a conclusion that, like, wow, this guy's really dangerous and, like, we would be better off if he wasn't around. They don't come to these conclusions. They don't make these connections. They see other people say that Charlie Kirk was bad, so they say Charlie Kirk was bad. And they say he was bad, and then he died, so I guess I'm not that sad. It never even really occurs to them that, like, what they're saying is that by disagreeing with him, somebody deserves death, but that is what they're saying. They don't even realize that. They don't know. They're cattle. They're dumb. They have to be just given different information, and they'll just believe something different. They have to be given the accurate information. If instead their news feeds were filled with people explaining the incompetency of DEI and the great replacement from a perspective of empathy with the white people, then the exact same people that were justifying Charlie Kirk's murder or cheering on the wannabe assassin last night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, they'll be on our side and fighting just as viciously for us rather than against us. It's all of just what's being fed into their brains. Do we understand? So, like, in this country right now, we are surrounded by psychopaths that don't even realize they're psychopaths, that have no idea that what they believe is, like, shocking and horrifying and unlike anything that has come before in this country or really a lot of other places. So, like, it's up to us. It's up to the people that actually believe in America, that believe in the Constitution, that believe in Christianity, that understand the deeper purpose of life and understand, you know, downstream consequences and the moral underpinnings of the universe that say, hey, just because you can kill the negotiators, you just shouldn't. And just because you can, you know, execute the hostages, like, just maybe don't. And just because you could use an excuse to silence your enemy because he disagrees with you, you just shouldn't do it. And I've been having this argument, and I swear it's, you either have this ability to have this mindset, like you are a real human being, or you're just not. And that really is sort of my dichotomy at this point, because over the weekend, there was this account named Junior, spelled with a V, who was removed from making money on X because Nikita Beer, the community manager on X, is a diehard Zionist Jew that is using his power to silence people that are anti-Israel. Now they're doing it under the cover of like, well, we're just trying to stop like news aggregators or like AI people. But it's not news aggregators and AI. It's people who make original content, but that are anti-Israel. And it's just obvious what's happening. And so I post a post basically saying, hey, this junior guy has given me a lot of good content recently. And he has, like, a lot of videos I've shown come from that junior account. And I'm like, this guy is like, he does not deserve. Basically, we have this community note system on X. If he gets something wrong, then he won't get money for that post. It'll get community noted, and he'll probably end up having to take it down. That's what it's there for, and it works. We do not need, on top of that, X employees applying their own filter and basically determining who we are and are not allowed to read. That's ridiculous. So I post a thing in defense of this, junior account. And I have so many people commenting me being like, you idiot. I can't believe you're defending this guy, you idiot. And they'll post a collection of posts that where Junior, this account who's Muslim, has talked trash about Christianity. And it's one of these things that I get why they're sending it to me, but it's not me that doesn't understand. It's you that don't understand. I've said horrible things about Islam. I'm still defending an Islamic person because it's a principle, because it's free speech. But people actually send that expecting me to be like, oh, he's anti-Christian, then he doesn't deserve free speech. Oh, it goes against my immediate self-interest, then I guess I don't have principles. And I guess I am in favor of people being censored because they don't like me in particular. That's not how I think. That's not how decent people think. It's not how Americans think. That's kind of the point. He doesn't like Christians? Good. Let him say it. Let him tell me. I'd love to hear it. But people have this idea that it's like, oh, he's against me personally, then I don't care about his rights and I want him destroyed. That's you people. That's the short-sighted animals. I'm a human being, a real one, a real human being.
Hands down, this is the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. And it just so happens Bigley lined this up for this week with all these products that just came in a month ago. And so it's fitting that at the closing of the original InfoWars, we're doing this blowout. So I looked at the sale yesterday that they were set up. I said, this is the biggest sale ever. I said, you got to call it, you know, the Last Stand InfoWars mega blowout sale. And so this is hands down the biggest ever. This happens every month where there's a one-week period where you can win both of the cars of the sweepstakes, the Ford Raptor and the custom H1 Hummer, $20,000 cash. Every order, every dollar spent, you put it 100 times. That's only the last week. That goes till next Friday to win these. And most people that win do it in the last week. Just a little tip. We're also giving you free $10 to use on anything at thealexjonesstore.com. That offer ends tonight. Free InfoWars dog tag. It's a cool InfoWars limited edition dog tag. There's only 3,000 of these. The next 3,000 orders get one thrown in free. And I got some methylene blue on that, sorry. But if you look right here, overhead shot, you see InfoWars with the Betsy Ross flag. And on the back, stained by methylene blue, you are the resistance. So it's a cool little memento that's thrown in as well. But then it just gets even more crazy. There's a pre-sale. You're coming in a few weeks, but for any InfoWars items, you got to get them in the next 4 days. Silver round and Faraday bag, just like the last Faraday bag that sold out in 3 days. It's the same Faraday bag, but it has the Punisher on it, saying resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. That is a huge value. And you get a limited edition InfoWars silver round coin with it for $249. These bags sell in stores for $400, $500 all day. Protects all your electronics. You can't be tracked with it. So that is so essential. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. You are the resistance. And the limited edition final InfoWars coin. That is an amazing deal. And VIPs get it even at a lower price. And then InfoWars product fundraiser. April 30th is your last chance to get official InfoWars products. We're still be battling them in court, but I'd say about a 90% chance that's the end of the original InfoWars logos, t-shirts, ball caps, all of it. The InfoWar is eternal and continues on, but InfoWars.com, that incarnation, will be seized by the bad guys, the Bloomberg-funded, vowed Satanist over at The Onion. So take advantage of that. Get all the t-shirts, ball caps, everything right now. And there's other big sales on the incredible methylene blue, bovine colostrum, methylene red, and everything else. But now is the time, a major fundraiser. And this is only running through Thursday night at midnight. And then one more day, you can be put in to win both the vehicles on Friday. So it's a lot of overlapping sales here. The $10 at checkout automatically taken off your bill. That's been running since last Thursday. That ends tonight. There's a whole bunch of sales, new sales being added every day. So be sure and check the alexjonesstore.com. And right there on the main page, you can also watch and listen to the show and find the show at thealexjonesstore.com. So that is a one-stop shop jump point in the fight against the globalists. So take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. You're the reason we fought through all this and never surrendered, leaving it all in the field. And we're going to be doing reviews of the great history of InfoWars, incredible victories we've had together coming out in the next few days. But this is a victory, not a time of sorrow. We have wrecked the enemy, and we've just got it started. We'll be right back. Now go to TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
In 2024, I voted for two things, all right? I voted to go to war with Iran and to build a ballroom, okay? And as long as Trump can get those two things done, I mean, nothing else matters, I'm pretty sure. I know I speak for all of us, Trump supporters, when I said in 2024 we were promised two distinct things. We were promised war with Iran, that we'd lose. We wanted to lose a war with Iran, and we wanted to build a ballroom. And those are the only things that matter, folks. Other than that, deportations, who cares? Am I right? Getting rid of the welfare state and the hundreds of billions of dollars that are stolen from us. Small potatoes. We want a ballroom, Trump. We want a ballroom, and we want it now. And we want it to be big and magnificent. Okay? We want it golden. All right? This is what we care about. As Americans, we want to see gold-plated ballrooms for you to have parties in. Okay, the rest of us can suffer and die. Thank you very much. We want that ballroom. We want to expand FISA, absolutely. We definitely want to drop the investigation into John Brennan, get that out. We don't want him punished for anything ever. We want the ballroom, and we want to lose a war to Iran, and by golly, Trump is delivering. Is he not? I mean, that's just, I don't think it's just me. I think we're all on that same page, right? Aren't we? Aren't we all on that page? That all we really want was to have the Epstein class protected from any consequences for their actions. We want the truth about the Epstein files to be buried completely. We want a big-ass ballroom for Trump to have a party in, okay? That's all we want. And this is sort of the thing, I guess you could say. I guess you could say this is what you might call the thing about all of this. It ain't just Trump. It is the Republican Party. It's inexplicable what they're deciding to focus their energy on and spend their time doing. There's not one thing I can point to that could even accidentally benefit the American people. Trump and the Republicans are just doubling down and hitting hyperspeed in their drive to do everything that we elected them not to do, to do everything that our enemies want them to do. It is truly absurd. This article from Politico, it's going to be a circus inside Mike Johnson's grueling week. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, he's got a grueling week ahead of him with all the legislation going on. Okay, the speaker has to rescue a contested spy law, fund immigration enforcement, pass a farm bill, host a king, and deal with the fallout from the White House correspondence dinner. It's another grueling week in the House. Here's the issue. Here's the thing that I was referencing earlier. None of these things are good. None of the things, it's like, oh, I got a big week ahead of me. You know, the contested spy law, that's the Pfizer warrants where the domestic spy agencies who are prevented by law in the Constitution from spying on the American people, they spy on the American people anyway. And Trump literally wrote, I'm willing to give up your liberties for more FISA court warrants, even though he himself was a victim of the FISA court. Okay, so it's not like Mike Johnson's out there trying to stop the spy agencies from running roughshod over the Fourth Amendment and destroying our civil liberties. No, he's trying to expand it and codify it and protect them when they're doing that. Okay, so that's completely the diametric opposite of what we wanted and what Trump apparently wanted, because he himself was a victim and a target of FISA that he complained about many, many times before. Something has changed. Something in the meantime has seriously changed, okay? Fund immigration enforcement, but not deportations. And in fact, it's the Republicans that are the ones trying to pass the Dignitas Act to give citizenship to all of the illegal immigrants that flooded the border in the last couple years. So we're not getting deportations. We're not getting anything, really. I don't even know what funding the immigration enforcement even means when there's no immigration enforcement going on. Pass a farm bill, okay, but not for the farmers, not to get money to the farmers. No, to make illegal the ability of farmers to sue for the cancer that they're getting because of the Roundup and the glyphosate that they're being forced to use by other laws in the farm bill. Host a king, again, who cares? Put him in prison and deal with the fallout from the White House Correspondence Center, which should look something like a massive program to try to de-radicalize the insane leftists that keep committing regular acts of violence against right-wingers. Do you think that's going to be the solution, or do you think they're literally going to give power to the leftists? They're going to actually, like, write laws that destroy the First Amendment and that are just going to open up the door for the left to say, well, if you're going to pass laws against the First Amendment, I guess we are too. You're no longer, you know, it'll actually be illegal to, I don't know, advocate for the continuing existence of white people or whatever. So this is what I mean. It's like, oh, Mike Johnson's got a busy week screwing over the American people, you know? Gosh, how's he going to get done all of this screwing of us? It's really a big, you know, order to fill. You got to let the government spy on us without warrants. You got to poison our farmers. You got to, you know, fund the left and stop ICE from actually protecting us. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on here. It's just none of it is even remotely good for the American people. Not even by accident. It's crazy, but that's just how it is. So, again, people are like, oh, you got to vote for Republicans. Why? So we can get this? So we can get less than no action on immigration? We can get our party actually trying to pass the Dignity Act? Great. Are you going to protect our farmers, or are you going to sell them out to a foreign corporation, Bayer Monsanto, so they can be poisoned to death and not even have their families, you know, be able to get the funeral costs paid for? So what is the argument exactly here? It is totally insane. Somebody wrote online, I forget who it was, but I retweeted it, that more California teachers have tried to kill President Trump than Iranians. You might want to change the focus of your administration away from the foreign powers that aren't threatening us to the domestic issues that are. Just a suggestion. Of course, it's, if we don't vote for Republicans, then who is going to guarantee that the IDF soldiers get to retire off American taxpayer dollars? I mean, this is the important stuff that the Republican Party is dedicating its time to. We have got to be on the hook for 20,000 IDF soldiers. I mean, they're going to need a lot of help, right? I mean, you get done as an IDF soldier, you've got PTSD from all of the children that you've killed, or you think it's great and fun, and maybe it's just all a bonus on top of it. But I guess we'll be on the hook for that. We'll be responsible for paying the wages and the retirement and the healthcare for Israeli soldiers fighting an Israeli war for Israeli benefits, but we'll let them retire here and we'll give them a pension and we'll pay it out because obviously our veterans are doing amazing. You know, our veterans are all living in mansions. It's not like we have a major problem with the veterans in our country not getting the help they need, not getting the health care that they deserve since they put their lives on the line for our country, not a foreign one. You would think that that would be a priority of the Republican Party since this is such a major problem that's gone on for so long and is dire and demands dramatic activity from the government to correct the problem that they themselves created. But no, they're going to give pensions to the IDF soldiers because F you. Because that's why. And so now the Supreme Court is hearing arguments in a landmark Roundup weed killer case. A victory for the manufacturer Bayer could end thousands of lawsuits against the company claiming that the herbicide causes cancer, because it does cause cancer. Because the herbicide causes cancer, which is why you have thousands and thousands and thousands of cases of people who got cancer because of it suing Monsanto, Bayer Monsanto, who combined along with a bunch of other companies in a rapid consolidation that occurred around 2018. There was a big protest against this. It was called People Versus the Poison. And Thomas Massie was there giving a speech, as well as others. Let's go first to clip 17 here. Two congressmen were leading this. It was Republican Thomas Massie and Democrat Chelly Pingtree. Here's Chelly Pingtree. Clip 17, talking about blocking Monsanto from getting immunity to mass poison all of the American farmers. Let's watch.
Thank you. Well, I'm very proud to be here with my colleague from Kentucky, Thomas Massie, and to be co-sponsoring this important amendment. But let's just say it. We are all here today because we believe no corporation should be able to poison people and then run for protection of the Supreme Court and Congress. And we know that's exactly what Bayer is trying to do. They have 53 well-paid lobbyists and are spending millions of dollars lobbying Congress. And that is not to make their products safer. No, it's to protect themselves. They care about their corporate bottom line, and that is it. If their product makes you sick, they don't want to pay up, and they don't want to take responsibility. So we have to fight like hell to keep that from happening. Yeah. And that is why we're all here. Thank you to everybody who's been joining that fight. They have the money, but we have the people, and we can win. Last December, I fought to remove a similar protection that was in the appropriations bill. And thank you to your phone calls and your emails and your messages and contacting Congress. We won. But of course, Bayer is back. This time with the full-throated support of the Trump administration at the Supreme Court. This administration, unfortunately, has supported this appeal at the Supreme Court, and they even went so far to invoke the Defense Production Act to boost production of glyphosate. And right now, the other fight we're in today is that Bayer got Republicans to jam this liability shield into the Farm Bill. And I fought that in our committee to get that language removed. And once again, every single Republican and one Democrat on the House committee voted to keep it in. But no Republican or Democrat can tell you that if they support Make America Healthy Again, they vote for chemicals at the same time. They do not care for the health of our kids or the health of our farmers. This should not be a partisan issue, and I have been so proud to work with so many of the speakers and the advocates and the leaders here today. Thank you, Kelly, Bonnie, Zen, everyone who's here today. You're doing amazing work, and everyone who's showed up today is incredible. As you've heard so many people say, we don't have to agree on everything, but we are on the same side when it fights to fighting for people over poisons. And I just want you to know, I have been in these fights for a very long time, long before there was a MAHA movement, and I am so excited to have the cavalry coming in today and joining this fight. I have been an organic farmer in Maine since the 1970s. And no one can tell me or the other farmers here today that we can't grow food without all of these toxic chemicals. For me, this lifelong fight has been to make sure that everyone has access to healthy food without toxic chemicals, and every farmer has the resources that they need to farm organically and regeneratively. Cancer is not partisan. So, Congress has to make a choice. And today, as you heard, across the street, the Rules Committee will decide whether the amendment I co-sponsor with Representative Massey, the Pingree-Massey Protect Our Health Amendment, will even be allowed for a vote on the House floor. Our amendment is super simple. It takes the Bayer immunity language out of the Farm Bill, and it lets state and local governments decide how pesticides are used in their community. Any Farm Bill that protects chemical companies over American families is not pro-farmer, it's not pro-health, it's not pro-America, it is a giveaway to big chemical. Now, perhaps you one more thing. When EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin testifies before the Appropriations Subcommittee this afternoon at 4 o'clock, you can be damn sure I will hold his feet to the fire about his hypocrisy and ask him directly about what he is going to do to protect us from toxic chemicals. We don't win this fight without all of you. You've got members of Congress who are ready to fight. We're going to do the right thing today, but we can't win without the people. So, people over poison, we are going to win!
So again, there you see Del Bigtree saying next to her, that was the people versus the poison protest outside the Supreme Court as they decide whether or not to give immunity to the producers of glyphosate for the cancer that they cause to thousands and thousands of American farmers. And Politico has the headline, the Maha Revolt Threatening the Farm Bill. Factions of Republican dissenters mean GOP leaders will need to lean on votes from a handful of vulnerable or moderate Democrats to pass a key policy priority. Republican infighting between two important constituencies, the agricultural sector and the Maha Coalition, is threatening a passage of a bill leaders are counting on to help woo rural voters ahead of the midterms. But this is a false presentation of this. The agricultural sector versus Maha. The agricultural sector does not want to be poisoned, actually. The agricultural sector doesn't want to be forced to buy products that require they use poisonous glyphosate, herbicides, or pesticides. The agricultural sector that they're referring to here is not the farmers and the rural voters. It's Monsanto and Bayer chemical companies. That's the agricultural sector that they're talking about. They're talking about the industrial agricultural lobby that is paid by the chemical companies and is trying to indemnify themselves against suffering the consequences from literally poisoning the agricultural sector. Okay, so that is a misrepresentation of the divide here, as if it's Maha Moms against farmers, as if farmers are just like, please just let us grow crops, and Maha Moms are just like, no, you're not allowed to grow crops. It's like, no, Monsanto is giving farmers cancer, and Maha is on the side of the farmers and against Monsanto. But Politico is blurring that line, confusing that dichotomy for some reason, for some suspicious reason. House GOP leaders hope this week to advance a long-stalled farm bill that will secure a slew of industry and rural investments. They see a political incentive to move quickly now to shore up farm country support in advance of November elections, plus heed calls from President Trump's to, quote, pass the farm bill now. The farm bill traditionally comes to the floor with bipartisan support, but House Democrats this time are largely opposed to the package because it does not reverse the massive cuts to the country's largest food aid program enacted by last year's GOP mega bill. That's putting extra pressure on Republicans to see it over the finish line amid intra-party disagreements over provisions related to pesticides, livestock laws, and ethanol sales. Maha activists feel betrayed after voting for Trump in hopes that his administration would crack down on chemical exposure they blame for driving up chronic illnesses and disease. And now these activists are so fed up that they've turned to working with a group of House Democrats to strip out the language, according to four people granted anonymity to share private discussions. Several Republicans who wield enormous power in Speaker Mike Johnson's razor-thin majority could try to tank the entire bill if the provision is not removed. So yeah, we should obviously all be against this provision. And they aren't trying to help farmers. They're literally using farmers as hostages. They're basically saying, well, if you don't let us indemnify the chemical companies and allow them to poison you, then the farms will go out of business. So they have a gun to the head of American farmers, and they're basically saying, let us poison these people or we'll kill them. And then they're claiming that they're the ones fighting for the farmers, and they need to get this passed so that the farmers will vote for them. I hope farmers aren't voting for their own cancer. I mean, that's the dichotomy here. The Republicans are on the side of the cancer. The MAHA moms are having to work with the Democrats because they at least are not on the side of cancer. So there's that. Let's go now to clip 27. This is Thomas Massie at the same event giving his perspective in a speech.
Representing Kentucky's 4th District and an engineer, farmer, and inventor, please give it up for Thomas Massie.
Americans are under attack. There are four fronts to this war with the German company. They're attacking our executive branch, our legislative branch at the state level, our legislative branch here in Washington, D.C., and the courts. And what do they want? They want get-out-of-court-free cards. We're not going to give it to them.
No!
Was the EPA established to protect the environment and the people, or was it established to protect foreign corporations when they harm the environment and the people?
No!
Listen, we are under attack on all of these fronts. My colleague Shelley Pingree and I are working in the House of Representatives on one front. We've offered legislation called the No Immunity for Glyphosate Act. But it shouldn't even be necessary. We haven't repealed the 10th Amendment. We haven't repealed the 7th Amendment, your right to a jury trial. We haven't repealed the 1st Amendment, the right of people to say what's in a product. These things have not been repealed. But we're in jeopardy today. Those amendments to the Constitution, those three elements of the Bill of Rights are in jeopardy here. Is the Supreme Court today, are they going to gag state judges? Are they going to disband state juries? Are they going to shutter the state courts where justice should be served? And if they do, are they proposing to hear these cases on their own? No. They're proposing that nobody gets any justice. This is regulatory capture. It is corrupt.
Yeah.
The White House chief of staff worked for a lobbying firm that accepted money from Monsanto Bayer, and that is wrong. That is why we have an executive order that we are fighting. The federal government, and especially the executive branch, do not have this power to issue these get-out-of-court-free cards, and we're going to fight it. Thank you, and God bless.
So there you go. Very accurate and rousing speech from Thomas Massie. And once again, we just see that the real division is between the deep state uniparty and everybody else. And on every, major topic, it's pretty obvious where the division lies, right? The people don't want to go to war with Iran. Guess what? We're going to war with Iran. People don't want Monsanto to be able to poison you and not be able to be sued for it, but it's probably going to happen anyway. So I know there's a lot of doubt about the feasibility of a third party. I think this is an opportunity to really break with the old system that is so clearly non-functional at this point. I mean, if we had a party that was like on the side of the people in all of these divisions, could we not work together with the Democrats? Can we look at each other and go, hey, do you want Monsanto to be able to poison farmers? No, great. We're on the same side. Do you want America to be waging wars overseas for psychotic, genocidal Jewish supremacists in Israel? No, great. Then let's come together and focus on American domestic issues. Is this really that crazy of an idea? And Thomas Massie seems to be sort of, leading the way on this. And he also, of course, perfectly on point, and I'll share the clip in the first 5 minutes of the next hour, whether he's talking about the FISA warrants or the surveillance happening by AI that'll be mandated in every new car ever built, and already is to a certain degree. The man just knows how to keep his eye on the ball and land on the right side of all of these decisions. Now, of course, the real challenge in all of this is getting the left to come along with some common sense, reality-based policies. That's a bit of a harder story. But at least in like most of these major topics, like deportations would be the one where we'd be split. But again, could we not come to some sort of understanding where we go, look, we understand you want all these government programs. We don't, but you have to understand that it's impossible to do with infinite immigration. So like one of us has to give something up. How about we both give up a little bit and we stop the wholesale destruction of our entire country right out in front of all of us? Because they're only able to achieve it through the divide and conquer strategy that they have perfected over the last century. More in the third hour still to come. I'll show that another video from Thomas Massie talking about FISA. I do want to remind you, this is the best mega sale in InfoWars history, which is saying something. It is the biggest and most monumental sale and probably the last sale in InfoWars history. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. You're getting massive discounts. It is your last week to get this merchandise.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
And I took one of my colleagues, Victoria Spartz, in a skiff. I said, there's a document nobody's looking at. We need to go read. And so we go in the skiff. It was a letter from Senator Ron Wyden. And I don't know how he has the senators, particularly those on the Intelligence Committee, they get access to things. When a bill says that they have to notify Congress of something, what they really mean is they have to notify the Intelligence Committee. And then the Intelligence Committee just doesn't say anything, or they don't even bother to look at it. And so Ron Wyden in the Senate, he's a Democrat. He's on the Intelligence Committee over there. He discovered an innovative loophole they're using to spy on Americans in a way I can't even tell you here, because the FBI's interpretation of the law is top secret. Yeah, literally, there's a red and white cover on top of Ron Wyden's letter that says top secret. And Victoria Spartz and I went in there, and we read it. Very troubling. It's an interpretation, a secret interpretation of the FISA law. And he can't even tell you how they're interpreting. Now, when you have secret laws, that's when you know your country has gone too far.
Yeah.
How do you know you're not breaking secret laws? How do you know what your government's doing? Anyways, I show Victoria Spartz this document, and we look at it, and she said, well, there's something even worse over in this other skiff across the hallway that you need to see. So We already had our phones locked up. The debt badge was locked up in a little locker. I said, all right, well, I'll go across the hall and see your other document. It's an opinion from the FISC, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. And these are the folks that it's a court in the sense that there are judges, but they're on loan from the federal courts and it's a separate court. And there's no adversarial presentation of the fact in a FISA court. I think there should be. I think there should be at least an amici in a friend of liberty in that courtroom. That's one of the amendments to the FISA reauthorization that we've suggested. Anyways, the FISA court has said, and there's a 100-plus page documented over there. By the way, when Victoria Spartz got it, I heard some of my colleagues saying, well, the one I saw was only 50 pages. When Victoria got it, she got to the page 50 and realized there were more pages that were missing. She said, why does this paragraph end here? Where's the conclusion? Where's the end of this? And they went and found like 50 more pages to show her. So anyways, when I went over there, I got to see the entire.
And I'm sure it was an accidental.
106 pages. Yeah. And it's another secret interpretation of the law that the FBI is using in a novel way that allows them, I believe, to underreport abuses of the FISA program. So if you hear in the news that, oh, under Biden, you know, we had 5,000 abuses of FISA by the FBI, self-reported, blah, blah, blah. And under Trump, we've only got 100. And so we don't need to reform this program. Well, if you go in the SCIF and read the top secret documents, opinions of the FISA court judges, it says, well, here's what they're doing that allows them to do things that your law prevents them, should prevent them from doing. Okay, so now I've read two top secret documents in the SCIF, and it's really helpful. I tell you that I was in there with Representative Victoria Spartz because when you go in a SCIF, you leave your smartphone outside and your staff can't be in there. So it really is. You might think like a stupid congressman. It's just voting and getting elected and raising money and working for Team Red or Team Blue. So you don't really have to have a very good IQ to do this job. The reality is when you go in a SCIF, that's all you've got. You don't have a smartphone, so you can't be smart.
So Thomas Massey talking about going into SCIFs and realizing that we have secret laws, secret processes by which the American government can spy on the American people. And to me, the big takeaway is that none of that access to all of our information will ever be used to stop actual criminals. It'll never be used to make us safer, even though it could. It's all just used to crush our spirit. That's it.
You suffer from low energy. If you're not feeling the energy that you used to feel in your younger years, you should try this product and see if it makes a difference for you, because there are many causes of lack of energy, but one of them can be a lack of cellular energy support through pre-methylated nutritional supplements like this that can help you. You can go buy a bottle of vitamins at any store, you know, any Walmart, anywhere that's got cheap B12, which is cyanocobalamin, or the cheap B vitamins, or the cheap minerals like calcium carbonate, which is ground up limestone, you know. Alex Jones doesn't use the cheap low-end versions of these products. And I know this as a nutritionist, as a food scientist. I look at Alex's labels and I'm like, yes, these are the high-end ingredients that I would be using in my own formulations. So really, I'm always impressed with what the Alex Jones store is doing with their product line. So check it out. TheAlexJonesStore.com, Ultramethylene Red.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. The War Room with Harrison Smith is live right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, folks. In this final hour of today's broadcast, I want to talk about crime in America as well as the Iran war. And if we can, I want to touch a little bit on Europe and free speech overall. But we just heard Thomas Massey talk about the fact that we have secret courts, secret laws, secret processes by which the American people can be spied on endlessly. And just another reminder that just like AI scanning of social media, it's never going to be used to actually defend the American people. It's never going to be used to benefit us in any way. Our lives are never going to get better as a consequence of the government being able to spy on us more. Now, if you say it's necessary for national security, I'd say the much more effective thing to do about national security would be to deport all of the foreigners that we have here. That seems to be a major issue. And we could go into all of this, but just the number of ways that we are being spied on, the number of ways that they have to monitor us every second of the day. And yet it's never, ever, ever used to stop criminals, rapists, murderers, scam artists and fraudsters. So why are they doing it? I mean, you tell me what goes through your mind when you hear that the American government has done something like set up flock cameras to where there is a live, you know, visual of every inch on the American continent. Like, you tell me what goes through your mind when you learn that the American government has the ability to spy on everybody constantly, and yet crime never goes down after this has been implemented. And it's never being used to actually, in fact, if it turns out these programs help fight crime, they get rid of them. Like the shot spotter in Chicago. That was like the least intrusive thing you could imagine. That was just microphones that could detect and triangulate gunfire. But they removed it and, you know, stopped using those because it kept identifying gunfire in black communities from black shooters. So they got rid of it because it was racist. Because the microphones were racist when they were hearing gunfire in black communities and not in white communities. That's because the cameras were racist. Okay. So just really get that through your mind that like all of this power, all of these authorities, all of the ability to surveil us endlessly down to like monitoring our chats before we even hit send, which is one of the things they're doing in the EU right now. It will never be used to protect you. It will never be used to stop crime. It will never be used to improve your life in any way, which would really make you wonder why they're building 3,000 new data centers all over the country when they require more energy production than your average big city, when they require more fresh water than all the people in the state combined. Why would we be dedicating that many resources, and why would we be rewriting laws to allow for the access of that information by the government? Is any of it for the American people? Can anybody make an argument for me how we benefit at all from data centers, let alone benefit to the extent that it justifies an outlay of trillions of dollars, billions of gallons of fresh water, millions of acres of farmland, and more energy production than all of our cities combined? What are we getting in exchange for that? Is our Netflix going to get served to us a little bit faster? Are we going to be able to, you know, generate images of women in bikinis twice as fast, and that's worth it somehow? It's the infrastructure of our enslavement. It's the only reason it's being built. It's the only possible reason it would be built. And it's one of these things where has nobody asked this question? Because as far as I can tell, nobody's asked this question and nobody's answered this question. It's just one of these things where they just go, you know what? We need a full-fledged like societal reorganization to build these data centers. And we've got to build power plants to power the data centers. And we've got to build desalination plants to get fresh water to cool the data centers. And we need new laws to make sure the data centers can be accessed by the... And nobody once has said, wait, why though? But wait, for what and to what end and for what purpose? But why, though? Oh, no, we just got to do it. I mean, we got to do it. The money's there. We got to expand. We got to build this stuff. Okay, but how is it going to benefit the American people? And it's not. It's going to enslave the American people. It's the only thing that they can be used for. Again, am I wrong? Am I missing something here? So all this goes along together, right? There's a reason that they're trying to pass these FISA laws and trying to get all these other, Palantir is being looped into just about everything. The latest is now, I guess, Palantir is going to be in charge of FAA flight, designations or whatever. So that's the operating system for the New World Order, and they're building these data centers to power the surveillance that'll be used to enslave you. It's really not that complicated, and again, nobody can tell me why we need all these data centers. Nobody can tell me what the pitch is. Because the American people don't want it, but they're just doing it anyway. But why, though? Let's go to clip, whatever I told you there, 24. This is Lauren Boebert talking about the flock cameras that blanket our entire country and yet are never used to find a single, unregistered gun in the ghetto. It's never used to find a kidnapped child. It's never used for any of that stuff, ever. It's only ever going to be used to surveil law-abiding citizens when they jaywalk to lower their social credit score. Right? The classic comparison is Randy Weaver in the woods in Idaho being hunted down by the FBI because they convinced him to saw off a shotgun barrel an inch or two, and they just like burn his family to death and just like kill everybody. Meanwhile, I can show you 10,000 videos today of mobs of young black kids in inner city America just showing off their myriad illegal guns, just automatic fire and clips on the Glocks and extended magazines that have been illegal for decades. It's like nobody ever goes after them. You'll never see the FBI surrounding their house and moving in and murdering their children. Obviously not, not that we'd want that to, but like clearly there's a bit of a inconsistency here. And so all of this surveillance, all of this control that they're building, it's all going to be used in exactly the same way. It's all going to be for our detriment. And it's insane to me that people don't realize this when we're building literally 3,000 data centers that literally take more resources than the rest of the country combined. And they haven't even tried to explain to us why this would be something that we should be doing. There's no answer. Because it's for your enslavement. And that's all. Go to clip 24 now.
They're scanning our faces in public places, at protests, even at our children's schools. The government is building secret databases they can go through anytime that they feel like it. They're blanketing our neighborhoods with flock cameras. And every single one of you should be saying, what the flock? I mean, this is an absolute egregious reach on our Fourth Amendment rights. They're creating a digital footprint of your entire life without a single warrant or even probable cause. Your morning commute to work, it's tracked. Dropping off your kids at their soccer practice, that's logged. Visiting a church or a gun range, recorded forever in a government accessible database.
Okay, so we have flock cameras everywhere. We have giant data centers accessible at all times by the federal government. We have the federal government contracting with private companies who have access to that information. So even if they would need a warrant otherwise, they have portals in the back end of these organizations to get access to that information without ever having to go through a court of law. And that's all just the, flock system, surveillance cameras in that regard. You, of course, have, NSA and the FBI sweeping up private emails and phone calls to a criminal degree. Let's go to clip number 15 here. This is a former, NASA counsel, Glenn Gerstle, on Fox News. Let's watch.
The concern is that because although the statute is aimed at, say, let's just say foreign terrorists, just to take one example, overseas terrorists, maybe some of them, some percentage of them might be in communication with Americans. That could be for perfectly benign reasons, such as they're talking to their relatives in the United States or who knows what else. Or it could be for malevolent purposes. They're trying to recruit someone. It could be China trying to recruit a spy, a terrorist trying to recruit someone to help them plant a bomb in the United States. And so inevitably, there'll be some communications, presumably small, but some percentage of those foreign targets. And by the way, there were about 300,000 last year, 300,000 foreign targets, foreigners targeted under this program. Some percentage of them will probably be talking to Americans. And that communication, the other end of that communication, is going to be picked up inevitably. It's a byproduct of doing surveillance, whether it's an email or a telephone call. And that's where the problem begins from the point of view of the privacy advocates, which is they say the government then has the ability later on to look through its database and look at Americans' communications that were inadvertently or incidentally caught up, even though they weren't the targets, caught up in this surveillance program. That's the essence of the problem.
Of course, we've seen this weaponized against Donald Trump in the last 10 years. So again, to act like this wouldn't be abused, it already has, and it is being abused. But here we've just covered two sort of aspects of the surveillance spy state control apparatus, the flock cameras, the surveillance. It's occurring constantly everywhere. Ring camera I would put into that as well, since they also are building out a network of constant surveillance, connecting all of their devices. And then you've got FISA, which isn't just spying on foreigners. It can then spy on anybody the foreigners talk to. And there's several degrees of separation, which is how they, you know, got warrants to spy on everybody in the Trump administration circle, because really a couple degrees of separation is enough to more or less connect everybody on earth to each other. And that's all that's necessary to, you know, fulfill the magic word checkboxes of FISA to say, oh, but this is totally legitimate when we do it. It's obviously not. And then you've got what they're trying to add on to this, which already exists, but they're just trying to sort of create the legal framework through which this information and data can be weaponized and used legally. Clip 20 here. Federal law says new cars must monitor drivers and shut down the car if it disapproves of your behavior or state of mind, or I guess language that you use. I mean, who knows? Once they have this power, they'll be able to use it for whatever the hell they want. I won't go to this whole video, but we'll watch at least a portion of it. Clip 20.
It is now in order to consider amendment number one, printed in part B of House Report 119-462. For what purpose does the gentleman from Kentucky seek recognition?
Mr. Chair, I have an amendment at the desk.
The clerk shall designate the amendment.
Amendment number one, printed in part B of House Report number 119-462, offered by Mr. Massey of Kentucky.
Pursuant to House Resolution 1014, the gentleman from Kentucky, Mr. Massey, and a member opposed, each will control 5 minutes. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Kentucky.
Mr. Chair, I rise in support of our amendment. This is co-sponsored by Mr. Perry from Pennsylvania and Mr. Roy from Texas. And I regret that we have to offer this amendment. What I'm going to describe will probably sound like a bad science fiction movie, but that's what's written into law. Right now in law, that's going to be implemented for it says for 2026 and beyond. Now, the reality is the technology doesn't exist, but that doesn't keep legislators from imagining things that they would like to do to infringe on civil liberties. But there is a law that states that every vehicle manufactured is going to have a kill switch in it. The car itself will monitor your driving. And if the car thinks that you're not doing a good job driving, it will disable itself. So the car dashboard becomes your judge, your jury, and your executioner. Imagine this. We got a snowstorm coming. A mom takes her kids out. They're going to the grocery store. It's snowing.
He goes on to get one of like innumerable potential instances where this could be not even abused, but just inaccurately applied. And of course, the question is like, who do you appeal to when your car on its own volition decides that you can't drive? And what if you're in an emergency? You know, what if there's a reason that you're doing what you're doing? I mean, when my second child was born, and this is one of my greatest accomplishments in my entire life, I made a 45-minute trip in 12 minutes during rush hour traffic in Austin. It was amazing, and I was breaking every possible law you can imagine. But I had a baby arriving, and she popped out about 2 minutes after we got to the hospital, so it was a good thing I did. But if I was in a car with one of these, would it allow me to do that? Would it allow me to drive on the wrong side of the road and run through red lights and drive on the sidewalk once or twice? Because I had to do that and it was worth it. But would a robotic car understand that? Would it allow me to do that? Would I have to appeal to it? Would I have to reason with it? Or would it just shut me down completely? And could that cause life-threatening problems for my wife? Like, there's a lot of instances in life where, you know, traffic laws are a barrier to safety. And as human beings, we can recognize that and circumvent it, right? I'm sure if I got pulled over going, you know, 80 in a 35, but my wife is like hyperventilating, I'm sure the cop would go, oh, okay, I get it, and drive me to the hospital and not, you know, arrest me for a felony speeding ticket, because we're human beings and we understand that sort of stuff. Are you going to program that into a robot? And if so, why program it at all? Because if you can just, you know, override all of the safety features by just saying, oh, but I'm taking a baby to be delivered, and then it overwrite, like, it's not functional. It's not good. And by the way, you know, I don't know if we've run through this logic recently before, but just do you understand what the plan is for travel into the future? Because they've sort of had to back off on their electric car mandate, but that's going to come roaring back. And they're already doing it. Like, car companies have already decided they're going electric. They've stopped creating internal combustion engines, so it's happening. But we don't have energy production capable of keeping up with the energy that exists now, let alone if every single car on the road had to be powered from a central source rather than a gasoline engine. So we don't have the power to power every car being electric, but they're going to make every car be electric. Well, all that means is that you're not going to own a car, because not everybody can own a car because the grid can't handle it. So instead, there will be cars. There will be 100,000 cars in America, and you'll get to rent one on a per use basis, but you'll never be able to own it. And if they don't like what you say on the internet, then you'll probably never get access to one in the first place. And that's the world they're trying to create. And it's mathematically impossible for it to be any other situation, because we do not have the ability to power every car being electric, but they're forcing us to make every car electric on purpose, because they want to control where you can go and where you can't go. Just like on January 6th, Google Maps and Apple Maps wouldn't give directions to Washington, D.C. Or just like during the ICE protest in L.A., Waymo cars and other driverless taxis wouldn't drive people downtown where the protests were. Well, if protest is a key part of our participation in our government as citizens, what happens when the big tech companies decide, we don't want you protesting, we're not taking you there? What are you going to do, walk? How many people are going to gather for a big protest if the cars won't fly them there, or the cars won't drive them there, can't get directions there, the air you know, transportation company won't fly you there? Because they're not just going to have access to your, you know, what's happening on the car. They're going to have access to everything you talk about on your phone. So if they just know that you're planning to go somewhere for a protest, you know, they can shut you down that way. And you don't have to publicly post about it. You text your friend, hey, you going to the protest? Can you give me a ride? Now they know. And if they don't want you protesting, they can shut it down. And they'll do it privately, so you won't even have an ability to, you know, claim a violation of an amendment, because, well, it's a private company doing it and they have a right. So that's the world they're creating for us. And just so you know, most of this stuff, if not all of it, is already in place, maybe not utilized to the maximum degree that it could be, but we already have surveillance absolutely everywhere. We already have the AI systems to comb through it and find, you know, whatever we're looking for. We've got the shot spotters and the flock systems and the ring camera systems and the NSA and the FISA court. I mean, we have all of this stuff. And so the question is, why are all of our cities completely dominated by criminals? That's the real question you should be asking. Why are they building all of this stuff if it's not to protect the American people from exploitation or abuse from criminals? As Rand Paul puts it, the Fourth Amendment is not optional. If the government wants to read my messages, search your data, or spy on you, they need a warrant, period. My Fourth Amendment Restoration and Protection Act ends warrantless surveillance of Americans. I would say we need a new Internet Bill of Rights that could point out and make illegal some of the practices of the government. But we already have most of this stuff, if not all of it. And if they really wanted to do it for our benefit, they would be able to show us places and instances where these things have already successfully saved people. right? They'd be able to go, hey, you might not like the flock cameras, but guess what? There's 10,000 criminals sitting behind bars thanks to those flock cameras. So isn't it kind of a decent trade-off? But they don't do that because they're not even interested in like getting you to go along with your own enslavement. They are beyond that at this point. They're just doing it to you. And they're not even trying to make it sound like it's a positive for you. Because at that same time, should we just take a look? Should we take a little tour around the country? Let's go to clip 42 here. This is Seattle, which is supposed to host World Cup soccer games in June. See what Seattle, premier city in America, looks like these days. Let's watch.
Good grief. Oh, my God. Look at this horde. Black market of stolen goods. Unbelievable. Total disaster.
Hey, is that okay?
And this guy goes on and on. He walks around. I mean, it's literally just the streets of Seattle are just open air refugee camps with criminals and drug addicts and abusers and dogs. And it's just, this is America in 2026. Despite all the technology in the world, the most prosperous country in the world, we're spending $20 billion a year on Israel. We're spending $100 billion on Ukraine, $100 billion on Iran. We're building hundreds of billions of dollars worth of data centers all over the country. And our streets look like hell. And they are just replete with criminality. But that's Seattle. They're the left coast. They're expected to be like that. Let's go to clip 41. This is North Carolina last night. There you go. A bunch of, shall we call them teenagers, took over a highway and started setting off youths. Yes, they're youths. Goons. Some people call them goons. And they're starting fires and lighting off fireworks and just blocking a major highway. So, if only we had more flock cameras, that would deal with this, right? Gee, if only the NSA could read my private messages, then we'd be protected from this rampant criminality, right? Or is all of that going to continue as they build out the high technology to enslave us even further?
Right now is the time to support InfoWars as Twilight. We are shutting down next Thursday night. The InfoWar continues through all of you. The AlexShowStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. It owns the Alex Shows Network. They won't be able to shut us down. We have fought them, and we will continue on. But I need your support. The supplements, the methylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, it is all incredible, top-rated, so good for you. You're insane if you don't get it. And we're running a fundraiser here. All the original InfoWars products, we're not going to sell once this goes through. Because even though we're battling in court, they could come back and say we violated their whatever. So if you want to get original InfoWars gear and the new update, the 1776 line, now is the time. Also, they're running mega sales every day for the next week at Bigley. If you subscribe to any supplement, you can lock it in for 50% off when you buy it into the future. Cancel anytime with one click. Sign up for any supplement subscription. You get 50% off plus a free bottle of either Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy Incredible Formulas. Ultimate Chill helps support calm, balance, and focus. Ultimate Energy helps support energy, drive, and mental intensity. Third deal on top of it. Every order gets a free mystery gift with purchase. Biggest sales ever. We want to hire more hosts. We want to expand once this is over. We want to go at least 5 a.m. to midnight every night. We've got big plans, okay? We fought all the way. We rode till the wheels came off. We're going all the way. We're still going to block the onion scammers that got exposed a year and a half ago. They're trying it again. We're going to sue the living hell out of them. Wait till after our guest leaves us. We found incredible information on them. It is so shocking. It's going to just blow you away. Guess what they're into? I don't think you'll be surprised, but it's so bad. You're not going to, I mean, it is the sickest stuff you've ever seen. Out and out Satanism, torturing, murdering children. They love it. They're promoting it. Wait till you see this with Will Ferrell, everything. It's all coming up. But I will continue to fight these people 110%. I love it. I'm built to do it. But I cannot do it without your backing and support. So make the decision now, especially the 99% of you, have millions of viewers a day, that never go to the AlexShowStore.com to get these incredible items, incredible knives, silver coins, collectibles. It's all there. The AlexJonesStore.com. And it's a free app. The AlexJonesApp.com, Android, on Apple, It's all there. It's free. Get it. The show's right there in the center of it. You get big discounts, everything in the shopping cart when you do it through the app. AlexJonesApp.com. And soon we'll announce the new news site that's even better than InfoWars. It's all coming up. But I can't do it without you. You get all the credit. I need your support now. Firing the bat signal. I want to thank all of your past support. But those that haven't supported, what are you doing? TheAlexJonesStore.com. Stay with us. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. I love it.
This stuff works, man. I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Get yours now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Keep your hand on your gun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't last segment anyone. Of the War Room broadcast today on this Monday. Keep your hand on your gun. The fourth to last episode of War Room from these studios. We will be broadcasting on Friday out of different studios, but Thursday will be our last day here, and we're certainly going to miss the studios, but the studios are not what brought us our success. It's you fine folks out there, and as long as you come along with us, then whether we're here or there or anywhere, we will succeed and we will dominate. We will continue to change the paradigm the world over. So thank you for your support so far. Thank you for keeping up with us, and through all of this mess, it's not our fault. Trust us, we wish we weren't having to go through this as well, but it's just the way it is. And like the rebels from Star Wars, where we got to make a new base now because we've been discovered and basically destroyed. But we make it very easy for you to support us no matter what happens with InfoWars. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the way that you support us. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison is how you support me on top of all of it. We have amazing discounts for you. In fact, the biggest discounts in the history of our store. The best mega sale in InfoWars history. This is the last week to enter to win both the Ford Raptor and the custom H1 Hummer plus $20,000 in cash. Every dollar you spend gets you 100 orders. TheAlexJonesStore.com plus you get free $10 discount on whatever you order. That'll apply at checkout. You get an extra $10 if you're a VIP member, of course. VIP members get extra discounts as well. You also get a free InfoWars dog tag. Everybody, you don't have to be a VIP member, but if you spend $100 on TheAlexJonesStore.com, you get a free dog tag InfoWars branded product. And of course, the InfoWars product fundraiser is on, with April 30th being your last chance to get official InfoWars products. You're going to want to go now. You're getting 20% off everything with the InfoWars logo on it. We will have to stop selling anything with the logo on it, so go now to TheAlexJonesStore.com, get your InfoWars products, and be entered to win a truck, get massive discounts, and fuel up our escape pod for launch later this week. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Now let's talk about the Middle East and Iran. Basically, the latest with Iran is that they have essentially won the war and are now looking to negotiate everything except for the thing that we predicated the war on. That is, Iran offers deal to reopen Strait of Hormuz, but first, hold nuclear program talks second. So open the Strait of Hormuz first, hold nuclear program talks second. So the whole reason we went to war ostensibly was to stop their nuclear program. Now it's to open the Strait of Hormuz, which was open already before the war, and they're saying they will open the strait, but they're not going to discuss nuclear anything until they settle that. So they have all of the leverage That being said, we know how the war in Iran plays into much larger, grander global operations. I don't think it's going to slow down anytime soon. If I had to guess, I would say we're probably looking for another major round of combat in Iran fairly shortly. I don't think these talks are going to go anywhere. The only other option would be like Trump just kind of moves on. Like maybe we just like go to war with Cuba and the whole Iran thing kind of like falls to the wayside and it just like quietly gets settled a couple months from now. That's kind of how it feels at this point. I mean, we're like 60 days into the war with Iran and it's like not even really making headlines anymore. It's just kind of like to the side, kind of like, yeah, we're negotiating. We'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. Of course, it's the devastating consequences of no fertilizer. I mean, this is a big deal. It's going to destroy the planet if we let it, but I think they're just embarrassed and kind of like trying not to draw too much attention to it right now, which is fine because there's a lot of other stuff to pay attention to and it's all humiliating for Donald Trump. So it's not like you're getting a respite. If we talk about Lebanon, you've got Trump being humiliated because he demanded a ceasefire and Israel is ignoring him. You want to talk about the West Bank? Guess what? Israel's ignoring Trump and humiliating him. So it's sort of the same across the board, no matter what you want to talk about. When it comes to the Middle East or foreign policy, the one constant is Trump being humiliated. So I'd rather him just be humiliated and we get out of the Middle East, like, you know, humiliate him to such a degree that like we throw up our hands and get out of the Middle East and let Israel be destroyed by Iran. That would be like the ideal outcome out of all of this. But regardless, and this is one of those things, you know, you, like I was saying the other day, you wake up in the morning and every day I see certain things. I'm going to see insane gang rapists in Europe being given bare minimum, if any, punishment by the authorities. Today, the big story was in Austria, a gang of guys who raped a 12-year-old girl, literally no jail, no community service. They were instructed to go to a class where they learn how not to rape. And that's their punishment for the brutal rape of a preteen girl who they, you know, kidnapped and probably ruined her life. But that's fine. They don't even get, they don't go to jail. They don't even get nothing, just nothing. Just you get one, I guess. I guess every you know, one of the 64 million Muslim migrants into Europe, you know, you can rape as many girls as you want until you get caught, and then you got to kind of slow yourself down a little bit. So that's one constant. Another constant is gangs of black youth in America just committing open crimes right out in front of everybody. Some of the videos I just showed you is just a constant, or just like, you know, randomly murdering somebody and also getting away with it. Like, again, this is happening here in America too, where earlier this week or last week, I believe it was, there was a young black man who just was, I guess he was having a bad day and decided to take it out on a random white guy. There's a random like 80-year-old white man walking down the street. Black guy just decides to run up, body slam him as hard as he can, slam his head into the concrete. Old man dies. Young man, no jail. No jail. You just get, you can just murder white people as a black person. And hey, as long as you say I was having a bad day, they go, oh, well, that's understandable. You just had to murder somebody to improve your mood. Goodbye. And they just let you go. It's literally happening here in America. And it's every day. So every day, there are these certain constants. Muslims taking over and destroying Europe blatantly in front of everybody. Black people in America committing crimes and getting away with it, totally fine. Illegal immigrants in America violating young women or murdering somebody. It's just like every day you see more of these. And correspondent with these, like in addition to these and sort of parallel with these, are all the stories of the people allowing it to happen, the judges letting the people out, or the migrant caravans arriving en masse, or, you know, Israel working with Morocco to take Spain back over for the Muslims, which they are literally doing, which is crazy. But yes, Spain basically said, we don't like that you're committing genocide all over the place. And so now Israel is working with Morocco to recapture northern Moroccan territories, which is kind of funny because if you read about the takeover of the Spanish Peninsula by the Moors back in the day, they also had some help in opening the gates of places like Toledo. So it's, we're kind of like, it's kind of a historical throwback a little bit. And I've got stories from official, you know, newspapers discussing that. So again, save your outrage for the people that deserve it. So all this is to say that the other thing I see every single day, and again, in alignment with statements, right? You, like every day there will be a statement of somebody like an American government, you know, just talking about how Israel is our greatest friend and we have to do everything for them and anybody speaking against them should be arrested and put in jail. And then simultaneously you have like dozens of videos of Israelis just being the worst all over the place and in any variety of ways. Like you've got the settlers who are like taking over houses in Lebanon. You've got the soldiers who are looting houses in Lebanon. You've got the bombing campaigns that are still just destroying huge swaths of Lebanon, just completely leveling Christian towns all over the place. Then you've got the West Bank settlers who are just a constant source of the most insane terroristic activity you could ever imagine, as well as the Israelis who are settling the Golan Heights and doing similar activities there, as well as the ongoing genocide in Gaza, which hasn't really slowed down that much. In addition to, you know, obviously the war in Iran and the, you know, control they have here in America and the way that they're like bringing in the Muslims to Europe and like all this other fun stuff. So it's just like a constant. So it's just every day you wake up and it's just white people under attack. And in a word, and unifying all of these things is that white people are under attack from every different angle, relentlessly. And obviously, in addition to all of this, you have the videos of white people who think it's fine and who justify it and who go along with it and who think we deserve it. It's totally insane. And it's not going to end. It's not going to end unless you end it. And this is the ultimate revelation here is there is no point appealing to, you know, humanity. There's no point in pointing out hypocrisy. They don't care. They could not care less. Until you actually physically stop them, they're just going to keep going forever until everybody's a slave or dead. That's it. Okay. It's just, it's up to us. Couldn't be more obvious. And again, the humiliation on top of all of it really should be something that we're ashamed of. Let's go to clip 14 here. This is from The Economist, and this is just a little rundown of just some of the stuff that the West Bank terrorists and the IDF have been up to in Gaza and the West Bank and Lebanon and everywhere. Let's watch.
While the world's eyes are on Iran, Israeli settlers are annexing new areas in the occupied West Bank. Violence has escalated, including arson attacks on Palestinian homes and vehicles. In March 2026, the number of Palestinians reportedly killed by settlers reached its highest in a decade. This campaign of violence aims to evict Palestinians from their homes. Israeli settlements in the West Bank are illegal under international law. But in a single day in March 2026, the Israeli government approved over 30 outposts. Most regular units in the Israel Defense Forces are currently deployed in Gaza and Lebanon. That means security in the West Bank is now the responsibility of the Israeli police and the IDF's regional defense battalions. Many of those soldiers are settlers themselves. A recent UN report highlighted the worsening crisis.
Israeli security forces have continued to kill Palestinians with impunity.
On April 21st, a reservist in the IDF killed two Palestinians outside a school. Settlers aren't just becoming more violent. They are also systematically annexing more territory. After the Oslo Accords in 1993, the West Bank was divided into three areas. These are controlled by the Palestinian Authority. Others are under joint Palestinian civil and Israeli security control. The rest is fully administered by Israel. After the Hamas attack from Gaza in October 2023, settlers embarked on a campaign of intimidation against Palestinians in remote rural areas. Since the start of the war with Iran, there have been more organized, repeated attacks on larger communities. Settlers are growing more confident because of tacit or explicit support from Israel's government. The finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, is a settler and has called on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to take over the West Bank.
Maximum shetach al minimum ukhlusiya.
2 days later, President Donald Trump issued a rare rebuke.
I will not allow Israel to annex the West Bank.
But on the ground, a form of annexation is already underway. And with the world's attention on Iran, violence in the West Bank is likely to intensify.
That was from The Economist. So again, it's relentless and daily and brutal and horrific. And of course, you know, West Bank has nothing to do with Hamas. Hamas doesn't control the West Bank. That was Gaza. West Bank under a completely different authority. The West Bank, of course, also where Bethlehem and all of these Christian communities are. So it's, you know, it's not like this is Hamas, and it's not like these are even, you know, radical Muslims that they're going after. It's Christians who are being targeted for total destruction, as they are in Lebanon. And again, it's literally every, I didn't even grab all the videos from today that I could have. There's another one where it's like, and it's kind of weird because y'all remember that video that went viral, and it's a black guy looking through the window and his eyes are all crazy looking. It was from the UK. And it just went totally viral for obvious reasons. And it's like almost an exactly the same video is made, but it's an Israeli settler like trying to get through. I didn't even bring that one in, but we can go to some other ones I found here. Let's go to, clip nine here. This is Israeli settlers, alongside Israeli forces uprooting, more olive trees since this morning. So this is them in the middle of the night, just going through and, tearing down olive trees that have been there in some cases for centuries. And, because obviously those trees are terrorists. The trees feed terrorists, so they're basically terrorists themselves. You know, babies grow up to be terrorists, so of course babies can be terrorists, and trees can feed terrorists, which makes them terror trees. And the land, obviously, can hold terrorists, so you have to take that over. And people that get attacked often, feel the need to defend themselves, i.e. become terrorists. So, you know, anybody defending themselves has to be destroyed as well. And that's just one of them. We can go to clip 10 here. This is also from today. Large groups of Israeli settlers once again attacking the village of Jalud, where again you just see mobs, hordes of Israeli settlers. There's like an infinite number of these guys. They just spawn like goblins in a video game, and there's just like thousands of them everywhere, and they're constantly spilling over the borders and attacking people. And if anybody in Palestine tries to resist, then their whole family dies, or they get arrested and raped to death by a dog and then, hung by Bezalel Smotrich. So again, I cannot emphasize how utterly despicable and evil Israel is, and why we're going along with it, and why we're going along with it in a way that is particularly humiliating to Donald Trump. Let's go to clip eight here. More about Israel Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich, who, by the way, is a terrorist. look up his past. He's like a literal terrorist. But then again, so is literally everybody who's ever been in charge of Israel. So I guess that's not all that, confusing. Let's go to clip eight.
There was this interview with the Jerusalem Post where the finance minister Smotrich, which has been talked about a lot in the program, a member of Israel's far-right party, claimed that the settlement expansion in the West Bank is actually being carried out with basically unconditional U.S. support. So in the past, at least publicly and supposedly privately, the U.S. has advocated for restraint in expanding these settlements, where we are like, you shouldn't do that, and if you do, there might be consequences, and then inevitably they get spread, and we do absolutely nothing about it. But at least we've out like a good statement or something. That appears to not be the case anymore. Now, Trump is not publicly saying that it's okay to do this, but Smotrich is apparently optimistic and enthusiastic that there is actual alignment between the United States and Israeli government on this. So here are some things that he said in his interview. He said that all actions taken in the West Bank have been coordinated with the president, along with U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio and U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee. He noted that while Trump has not yet supported supported the application of Israeli sovereignty over all parts of the West Bank. He hoped that, quote, we will also succeed in that. And even in the previous U.S. administration, we did things, but certainly in the current one, we received great support, full backing. And yeah, I'm glad that he acknowledges that this sort of thing was also going on under Joe Biden. And
he's like, Rubio's down with it, Huckabee's down with it, and Trump himself signed off on all of this, which is, again, insane. Well, let's just play the video again, clip number three here. This was Trump in September of last year being asked about this exact topic. Let's watch.
Did you promise leaders this week that you would not allow Israel to annex the West Bank? Is that something that you
said? I will not allow Israel to annex the West Bank. Nope, I will not allow it. It's not going to happen.
Did you speak with Netanyahu about this?
Yeah, but I'm not going to allow it. Whether I spoke to him or not, I did. But I'm not allowing Israel to annex the West Bank. There's been enough. It's time to stop now, okay?
Yeah, that's Trump looking like a weak bitch right there. Really pathetic. I mean, honestly, like, what? So the president of the United States, no uncertain words, no waffling, no, well, we'll see, no, it's a complicated thing. Israel is not annexing the West Bank. It's too much. They're done. Fast forward 6 months, they're literally laughing in your face, spitting at you, and saying, Trump said we could do this, as they just ruthlessly kill and conquer the West Bank. Making Trump look like a complete chump. Making him look like an absolute moron, idiot, weak scum who's incapable of upholding even the most easily upheld thing you could imagine. I mean, it would be so I could think of 1,000 different ways to stop this from happening. Like, it's ridiculous. For one thing, they need us to survive. How about that? How about if they keep annexing the West Bank, we cut them off and then they all die or they stop annexing the West Bank? That would be a bit of leverage we could probably use. What if we put American soldiers on the ground in the West Bank to protect the Palestinians? What if we did that? I think we could do that. I think we have bases all over the world. I think, you know, we act on this stuff all the time. It's just not when it's Jews doing it. Because then it's good. Now, this is Lebanon. This is them bombing Lebanon during the ceasefire. This is Israel's adherence to the Lebanese ceasefire that, once again, Trump explicitly told them not to do. Do not bomb Lebanon. I said no. I told them you're not bombing Lebanon. This is what they're doing in Lebanon, folks. And they're getting away with it. And Trump's doing nothing to stop them, nothing to hold them back, nothing to even make them ask. You know, think twice about it. And these are not the same village, by the way. These are all different villages in Lebanon being utterly and completely destroyed by Israel, even though a lot of them have Christian communities there. And again, the nitpicking people have. I posted something saying, you know, here's an image of, you know, the before and after of a Lebanese Christian village. And before there's buildings, after there's rubble. And I had a bunch of people comment being like, that city is 75% Muslim, 25% Christian. Okay, do you know how the Middle East works? There are neighborhoods that are entirely one religion and neighborhoods that are entirely the other. So when you see a city with 25% Christian, that 25% Christian is usually in one distinct neighborhood with a church, and that's the neighborhood that's been destroyed because they're targeting Christians because they hate Christians more than they hate Muslims. You understand that? Everybody who's been there says it. Let's go to clip number four here. This is Al Jazeera confirming that Israel is just obviously flagrantly breaking every U.S. ceasefire that they're supposed to adhere to. Let's watch.
Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip intensified over the past week, overwhelming hospitals and grieving families. A U.S.-brokered ceasefire in October 2025 continues to be violated by Israel. Al Jazeera's Hind Khoudry has more from Gaza.
In Khan Yunis, a drone strike killed 23-year-old Yahya and injured three others. Hours later, a separate Israeli attack killed three civil defense workers while they were traveling in a car along Salah al-Din Road. These incidents come amid the fragile ceasefire that has been in place since October. Despite the agreement, violence has persisted, with hundreds of people reportedly killed in the months since it began. And in the past week, attacks have been growing more intense. Hospitals are running out of basic supplies, making it increasingly difficult for them to treat the wounded. And medical teams on the ground say conditions are deteriorating, warning that Gaza's health system cannot withstand another wave of attacks.
So whether it's Gaza or Lebanon or Iran or the West Bank or the Golan Heights in Syria, everywhere and ubiquitously, yeah, there it is, the Christian village of Yarun in southern Lebanon before and after it was destroyed by the Israeli army. And there you can see right in the middle, there's a big church. That's the big church that's been destroyed, reduced utterly to rubble. So, yeah, and look, the Christian village, Google exists, man. Oh, demographics, oh, they're 75% Muslim and only 24% Christian, huh? And you think they're what, equally spread out? And what, because Christians live with Muslims, they also deserve to die? Like, what do you think you're pointing out here? No, what I'm pointing out is that Israel is murdering everybody. They murdered 50 people in Lebanon today. There's no legitimate military targets in any of these places. It's just murder. It's just Israel murdering everybody and laughing at Trump's face as he goes along with all of it. So, screw them.
If you suffer from low energy, if you're not feeling the energy that you used to feel in your younger years, you should try this product and see if it makes a difference for you, because there are many causes of lack of energy, but one of them can be a lack of cellular energy support through pre-methylated nutritional supplements like this that can help you. You can go buy a bottle of vitamins at any store, you know, any Walmart, anywhere that's got cheap B12, which is cyanocobalamin, or the cheap B vitamins, or the cheap minerals like calcium carbonate, which is ground up limestone, you know. Alex Jones doesn't use the cheap low-end versions of these products. And I know this as a nutritionist, as a food scientist. I look at Alex's labels and I'm like, yes, these are the high-end ingredients that I would be using in my own formulations. You may not know that the vitamin B12 that's in that formula, which is methylcobalamin, you may not know this, but that ingredient alone is crazy expensive. I think the last time I looked at the pricing of vitamin B12, it was something like $10,000 per kilogram. I mean, it's insanely expensive. And so the fact that you can get a bottle of this for, what is it, like $22 on the alexjonesstore.com, it's unbelievable. I don't know how they're able to get to these prices. They've also got TMG in there. They've got CoQ10 in there. They've got vitamin B6 and so on. Also another form of folate in the same formula. The Ultra Methylene Red. And it's sweetened by stevia. So stevia, which is great. It's a natural leaf, you know, sweet leaf sweetener. So really, I'm always impressed with what the Alex Jones Store is doing with their product line. So check it out. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Ultra Methylene Red.